Price was the pianist, and George Gershwin's I Got Rhythm, Variations. I'm Kevin O'Connor.
You are listening to WHFR Dearborn. We are listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. Welcome to another Tuesday Radio Vault program. We are going to be featuring lots and lots of Fred Allen. Fred Allen was a popular comedian. Jack Benny's enemy, although in reality they were friends. And we'll be hearing a Fred Allen show later on that that Jack Benny actually appeared on. Kind of a famous show, Jack Benny, King for a Day. We'll also be hearing some Fred Allen shows that were actually not intended for rebroadcast. They were recorded for the sponsor. And because of that, a lot of the stuff was edited. No commercials, no music. Just the comedians and the guests. We'll be hearing those later on. But this is Radio Vault. If you tuned in to hear some Valentine's themes, that's going to happen a week from now. And if you want mysteries, that's on Sunday night, right? But we do have a drama today. During our last hour, we'll be taking a listen to the Lux Radio Theater, as we often do. An episode from 1940 called Fifth Avenue Girl. Just for you. Let's go over some of the guests that we're going to feature today. In just a moment, we're going to kick it off with the Fred Allen Show with Ozzy and Harriet, who made a very long-term run on television with their own show, The Ozzy and Harriet Show, which are available on DVD, by the way. We'll also hear James Mason on the Fred Allen Show, as well as Jack Haley and Don McNeil. Don McNeil was a famous morning show host. He did a show called The Breakfast Club. And finally, we're going to wrap up our Fred Allen featurette today with Jack Benny and King for a Day. So if you're ready to get started, I certainly am. Let us go back now to June 15, 1947. The Fred Allen Show.
And here's The Fred Allen Show, presented by the makers of Tenderleaf Tea and Shepherd Cheese.
It isn't Jinx and Tex, kiddie.
The makers of Tenderleaf Tea and Shepherd Cheese present The Fred Allen Show with Fred's guests, Ozzy and Harriet, Portland Hopper, Minerva Pius, Peter Donald, Parker Fenley, the DeMarco sisters, Al Goodman, his orchestra, and my name is Kenny Delmar. Ladies and gentlemen, to celebrate Father's Day, we bring you a man who, for the next half hour, will make things pop. And here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Kenny, I heard that your opening remark there. Rather a dank get-off, I must say. I heard you say Father's Day, and here is a man who will make things pop. Tell me, frankly, where did you get that gag?
Well, yeah? A friend of mine used to be an epitaph writer, and last week he became a gag writer.
Oh, he wrote that Father's Day will make things pop, Joe?
Yes, friend.
Kenny, your friend is still an epitaph writer. I have seen jokes die, but this one was too quick for me, brother. As you open... That's the sponsor, don't mind. As you... Trying to set the trend, you know, as we... about that joke dying, Kenny, as you opened your mouth, I looked in. That joke was on your tongue, lying in state. Well, after this, old boy, the gags will be told by...
Mr. Allen!
Well, Portland. Portland, you just missed it. Kenny started the program with an hilarious joke about Father's Day.
Animals don't respect their fathers on Father's Day.
Well, really? How do you know?
I saw a little puppy today.
Yeah?
And he was licking his paw.
Licking his paw on... licking his paw on Father's Day. Well, tell me, where did you get that lackluster rejoinder? Wait, let the few literate people... lackluster monstrosity, I might say.
Brenda Kenny's used to be an epitaph writer.
Enough, I heard about the party. He'd better send some pallbearers around and carry his two gags off the premises. Tell me, Portland, what's new this week?
Well, Mama took me to see Roy Rogers' circus. It's wonderful.
Oh, really?
Thunderhead, Slicker, and Smokey are appearing in person.
Three horses, eh?
Oh, they had to have three.
Well, why?
Everybody knows New York is not a one-horse town.
Well, New York only has one mayor. Yes, you see, that epitaph writer wrote that in when no one was looking. Tell me, what other attractions does Roy Rogers have?
Well, he has one man, Montana Max.
Montana Max, huh? Cowboy?
He jumps from a horse onto a steer.
Watch that ad-libbing. I mean, don't throw me. Don't throw the script away, you know.
He jumps from a horse onto a steer's back.
Yeah.
Then he wrestles the steer all over the ground until he throws it.
Gosh.
Montana Max couldn't appear, though.
No.
He had four ribs broken.
Oh, throwing the steer?
No. Going up to the polo grounds in the subway.
Well, that'll do. See, just imagine old Roy Rogers with his own circus. You know, I used to know him when it was Rogers and Hammerstein, way back. Tell me, what else is new, Portland?
An archaeologist says that 18 centuries before Columbus discovered America, the Phoenicians were here.
Oh, that's ridiculous. What makes you think the Phoenicians were in this country?
If they weren't here, who made all those Phoenician blinds?
Enjoyed that. I just take time out now while I revel in that one. Tell me, what are you, while you're giving that joke back to Kenny's friend, the epitaph writer, I've heard about him. He won't say anything good about you unless you're lying down. He's a real old... I think I'll start for Allen's Alley, Portland.
What is your question tonight?
Well, recently a food authority reported that American cooking was becoming increasingly popular in other parts of the world. And so our question is, do you think American cooking is the best in the world?
Shall we go?
As Johnny said on the Philip Morris program, I think it's time to make my call. It's sure good to be back in Allen's Alley, Portland. Say, I guess the senator's home all right. Look, his mule has his shoes off. He's relaxing in the hammock. Can't tell the mule from the senator, except the senator doesn't wear a harness. Well, let's knock.
Somebody, I see somebody prodded my panel.
Well, yes.
Claghorn's the name. Senator Claghorn, that is.
Why, you been away, Senator?
Well, I was up in Canada with little old Harry.
Yeah?
Son, I never seen such a welcome. As we crossed into Canada and they fired that 21-gun salute,
yes,
tears come to my eyes.
Tears?
All that shooting reminded me of my wedding day.
What did you do? What did you do in Canada, Senator?
I went up to that city that was founded by a Southerner.
A city in Canada founded by a Southerner?
Montreal.
Huh.
Yeah, I seen some of them Northwest Mounted Police.
Yes.
I sent regards to Nelson Eddy.
Yeah. He'll be glad to hear from you. You must have had some trips.
Yeah, huh? Well, Canada's the farthest on south I've ever been.
Oh, really?
It sure opened my eyes.
Canada did?
I thought animals was running the country. They got people up there.
Oh. Well, this will be news to a lot of... tell me, Senator, what is your reaction to American cooking?
Well, son, the South used to have the best cooking in the world.
Used to have?
Since 1929, yeah, we in the South ain't been able to cook.
Well, what happened in 1929?
Well, Herbert Hoover said, I'll put a chicken in every pot.
And since 1929, nobody in the South has had any chickens?
Son, since 1929, nobody in the South has had a pot.
Well, so long.
So long.
Well, I guess the senator was trying to pull my leg horn. Well, let's see how Mr. Moody reacts.
Howdy, Bob.
Well... Well, Mr. Moody, how do you feel about American cooking?
Why, if it wasn't for cooking, I'd be a single man today.
Oh, really? What happened?
Well, when I was young and full of blare and gobble...
Yeah?
Why, I owned the only beaded pocketbook in Hoosick Falls.
The only beaded pocketbook, huh?
Yeah. Girls was always inviting me to parties.
Well, why?
Why, when we'd play post office, a girl would call my number...
Yeah?
I'd go out into the dark hall.
Uh-huh.
She'd ask me to light a match and show her my beaded pocketbook.
Oh, I see. Well, didn't you like any of the girls?
Well, one was a looker.
Yeah?
Her name was Serena.
Uh-huh.
She was slung together mighty nice.
Yeah?
I says, you for me, sister.
Hold in, mister. Don't give way, Mr. Moody.
Well, sir,
hold in.
After we'd been keeping company for about 9 years,
yeah,
one night Serena says, she says, Titus, you can lean your head back on my antimacassar anytime.
Serena was getting serious, eh? Well, what were your intentions?
My intentions was honorable, but remote.
Oh, I... Fine.
Next night, Serena, she says, surprise, Titus.
Yeah?
I cooked you up a bean tansy.
A bean tansy, yeah?
Yeah. It was the first pudding Serena ever cooked.
I see.
Well, I ate the bean tansy and drunk 2 crocks of crab apple cider.
Yeah?
Next thing I know, pain started shooting through my innards.
Yeah?
I doubled up and slipped out of my chair.
Well, how did you get married?
Well, I was kneeling on the floor.
Yes?
Serena thought I was proposing.
Proposing?
I let out a moan. Serena says, I do.
Well, tell me, how is Serena's cooking today?
Since that bean tansy, Serena's only cooked one thing.
One thing?
Yeah, my goose. So long, Buck.
Well, Mr. Moody's gander, I guess it's a bad day. Well, let's try this next dough.
How'd
Mrs. Durbin.
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum. Say, that is a mighty pretty gown you have on there.
Oh, thank you. It's mine cocktail dress.
Oh, cocktail dress?
On the sleeves, you can see the olive stain.
Oh, I... Well, I didn't know you went to cocktail parties.
We are only living once, Nussbaum.
Oh, that's true.
Well, why not enjoying? C'est la vie.
C'est la vie.
Life is only a deep breath. You are exhaling, it is gone.
How true. Well, Mrs. Nussbaum, how do you feel about American cooking?
You could eating by any other nationality cooking.
Uh-huh.
Ultimately, with something American, you are finishing the meal.
Finishing the meal? Well, how do you mean?
Well, you are eating Italian veal scallopinkas.
Veal scallopinkas? Yes.
You are eating Chinese egg foo yanko.
Egg foo yanko.
Or you're eating Mexican enchiladas.
Uh-huh.
You are eating French crepe la Suzette.
Crepe la Suzette. No matter what country's food you eat...
Always you are concluding the meal with something American.
And the something American is...
Alka-Seltzer. Thank you.
Well, that brings us to little Shamrock-covered candy at the end of the alley. Well, let's arouse Mr. Cassidy. Well, Mr. Cassidy, how are you tonight?
Oh, terrible, terrible, terrible. Oh, my right leg is so heavy, I can't lift it up.
Your right leg is heavy?
Oh, it's full of iron, pig iron.
Oh, that's silly, Ajax. How can your system get full of pig iron?
We've been eating pork chops.
Oh. Ajax, like the Pepsi and Summer Show, you are hopeless.
I'm not long for this world.
Well, tell me, Mr. Cassidy, how do you feel about American cooking?
American cooking, says you. The only Native American food is the hot dog, the hamburger, the Eskimo pie, and the popsicle.
Well, I know that.
The great American stomach is becoming nothing but a repository for Howard Johnson. Me boy, the hot dog and the hamburger made me what I am today.
And what are you today?
A vegetarian.
Vegetarian?
Oh, the Irish are all vegetarians.
You mean they have no meat?
The only steaks we have in Ireland are the sweepstakes.
But,
A poor man's favorite food is the potato. Ah, the Irish avocado.
And you say that you are a vegetarian?
I'm a true vegetarian, me boy.
Now, what is that?
Well, now, a true vegetarian is a man who will order a beautiful boiled salmon just to get the little sprig of parsley on the salmon's stomach.
And you are a true vegetarian?
Oh, to me sorrow, to me sorrow. I carried me vegetarian tendencies too far.
How?
I married an old tomato. Good boy.
Well, we need Alan Charlie to keep our weekly rendezvous with the five DeMarco sisters. Aided by Al Goodman and his employees, the DeMarco sing, I do like you, girls.
But I do like you, do. I don't like milk, spinach, I don't like do. I don't like anything that's good for me, but I do like you. Am I mad? No, just my attitude has always been very unconventional. Do I care? No, if you think I am strange, it is intentional. I don't like men. Women I don't like to. I think that I don't even like myself. Maybe silly, but it's true. Maybe you're the one exception. I do like you. I don't like men. Women, I don't like to.
I think that I don't even
like myself. It's silly, but it's true. Baby, you're the one exception. After all is said and done, I do like you, you're the one.
Thank you. And now to remind you about an important topic. Yeah. Maestro Al Goodman has just completed another of his miniature masterpieces. This one, time after time. Since Maestro Goodman started playing these abbreviated numbers, all of his fan mail arrives written in shorthand. And now, ladies and gentlemen, yes, Portland?
This mail just came.
Fan mail coming in as we're acting here, going along? Well, what is it?
This first postcard says, Mr. and Mrs. Golan Paul of Far Rockaway are celebrating their golden wedding at Patty's Clam House.
Yeah.
Please play the anniversary song.
Well, wait a minute. We don't play requests on this program, Portland. Send that over to Jack Eigen at the Copacabana. Tell me, what are those other postcards you have there?
Oh, they're vacation cards from Jack Benny, Bob Hope, and Red Skelton.
Gosh, do I envy those fellows, those chaps, Portland. Benny, Skelton, and Bob Hope, all away enjoying their vacation.
Are you going away this year?
Not me. I learned my lesson last summer.
What happened?
Well, last June, I saw an ad in the newspaper. Quiet, restful room in lovely suburban home. Will rent for 1 month, $50. Right, Mr. Oswald Nelson, 1847 Rogers Road. Well, the ad read wonderful. So I wrote to Mr. Nelson, and 2 days later, I started out for 1847 Rogers Road.
Bobby.
Yes, Harriet.
The postman just left this letter. It's for you.
Oh, for me? Who's it from?
Well, the return address says F. Allen, NBC, until July 1st. After that, make me an offer.
NBC. Who do I know at the National Biscuit Company? Dear Mr. Nelson, arriving Monday afternoon. Harriet, it worked, it worked.
Ozzy, what are you...
Darling, what is it you've been dreaming about? What is it you've wanted more than anything else?
Fingernail polish, it'll stay on.
No. I mean, the trail of Mr. Thornberry's been trying to sell us for $50.
Ozzy, we...
Now we can take that camping trip we planned at Lake Tahachapuku.
I don't get it.
Well, it's simple economics. We need $50. David and Ricky are away at camp. Their room is empty. I put an ad in the paper. A Mr. F. Allen wants to rent a room. When we get Mr. F. Allen's $50, the trailer is ours, and it's Lake Tahachapuku. Here we come.
Ozzy, you're mad. Bringing a complete stranger into our home? A man from NBC yet.
But Harriet, $50.
Ozzy Nelson, you are not turning our home into a motel.
Oh, Harriet, forget the commercial side of it. Think of the humanitarian side. The housing shortage. This poor, decrepit old man holding his feeble hands out to us for a haven. Harriet, we can't deny him.
Well, Ozzy, for a whole month...
Chin up, Harriet. We'll get the trailer. This must be Mr. Allen now.
Well, before you open the door, Ozzy, let me peek at him through the window.
Well?
Ah!
Oh, Harriet... What happened here? You're trembling.
Ozzy, he looks like the ghost of John Carradine.
Coming.
Pardon me. Is Mr. Oswald Nelson in?
Yes, I'm Mr. Nelson. You must be Mr. F. Allen.
Fred Allen. You received my letter?
Yes. Won't you come in, please?
Thank you. Ah, this is what I like. This house has such a homelike atmosphere for a motel.
Motel? I beg your pardon.
Harriet, this is my wife, Mr. Allen, Harriet. I mean, this is my, Harriet, Mr. Allen.
Well, how do you do, all of you? How do you do? And now, folks, before I make any decision, may I see the room you advertised?
Oh, you'll love it, Mr. Allen.
Yes.
It's large and roomy.
Ozzy, I still don't like the
Harriet,
idea.
Harriet, please.
But, Ozzy, a man from NBC in our children's room.
Mr. Allen, excuse me. I want to talk to my wife.
Oh, surely. What a lovely conch shell you have here on the highball.
Darling, after all, remember the trailer. The second honeymoon at Lake Tahachapuku.
Oh, well, okay. Ozzy, why don't you show Mr. Allen the room?
Oh, good girl, I will. This way, Mr. Allen.
Oh, thank you.
You can bring the conch shell with you, I see.
Oh, thank you. I'm listening to the ocean.
Right in here.
Small noise. A dead sea, I think, was it there. This is the room?
Yes. Be careful of those rollers.
Yes,
just climb over that bicycle.
Yes.
I'll have those turtles taken out of the bathtub, of course, and that bubble gum will all be scraped off the pillows, and the tom-toms will be taken off the bed.
My, this room looks so restful, Mr. Nelson. I'll take it. This is just the place to soothe my jangled nerves.
Yes, you do look jumpy.
Yes.
Do you always shake like that?
Yes, I'm on the radio.
Oh?
I have my own program every Sunday night.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
Funny?
Mm-hmm.
We tune in every Sunday night.
Yes.
Said your name is Felix Alfred?
No. It's Alan.
Felix
Fred
Alan.
No, not Felix. Fred Alan.
Fred Alan.
Fred Alan.
Alan.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. Well, Sunday, first we listen to Jack Benny.
Yes.
Then Phil Harris.
Yes.
Then Charlie McCarthy.
And then...
And then we have dinner. And after dinner, we listen to the Manhattan merry-go-round.
Oh, you do.
Mr.
Nelson, some night during dinner, if you leave your radio on loud enough and you're not eating celery, you may hear my program.
Oh, well, I doubt it. We have celery every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
But you look rather tired.
Mr. Nelson, one thing before you go.
Yes, Mr. Allen?
Do you rent this room, American Plan?
American Plan? Sir, I'll have you know everything in this house is American. During the war, I was an air raid warden. I buy a bond a week. I have a picture of President Truman on our piano. Our flag is out every holiday.
Then the room is?
It certainly is American Plan.
Well, fine. Here's the $50 for my month's rent.
Thank you. Well, here's the key. It's for the back door. You can let yourself in.
I'll be very careful. Thank you.
Harriet.
Yes, is everything all settled?
Yes, it is. You know, for a second, I felt like throwing this $50 in Mr. Allen's face. He had the nerve to ask me if his room was American Plan, questioning my patriotism, me, an Eagle Scout.
Well, dear, American Plan... American Plan means we have to give him his meals with the room. Ozzie, you didn't.
Harriet, I did.
Oh, 3 meals a day, and the price of meat going up every minute.
Oh, but after all, how much can he eat? He's in radio. He must have an ulcer. You'll see. Wait till he comes down to breakfast tomorrow.
Yeah, he does have that mush and hot milk look.
And maybe he doesn't eat at all. Like the camels who consume their humps. He can probably live a week on one of those bags under his eye. Darling, I'm taking this $50 next door to pay Thornberry for that trailer. Lake Tahatchapuku, here we come.
Good morning, folks.
Good morning, Mr. Allen.
Oh, up early, aren't you, Mr. Allen?
Yes, I didn't want to miss breakfast.
Oh, fine. Just sit right down here. Harriet and I are just splitting an orange. Split that orange 3 ways, Harriet.
No orange for me, thank you. Doctor's orders.
Oh, what will you have, Mr. Allen?
Well, for breakfast, I generally have just a glass of lukewarm water, and I nibble down to the first knuckle on a lady finger, as a rule.
Oh, I told you so, Harriet.
But since I'm on my vacation and living American Plan... I'll have a double order of Wheaties, 6 poached eggs, a thick slab of fried ham, 2 coffee rings, and 3 dozen donuts.
Mr. Allen, isn't all that food going to be a bit of a shock for your stomach?
You're right. I'll cushion the blow with a bowl of strawberries and extra heavy cream.
Is that all?
Yes. I think that will hold me, providing I have a substantial lunch later.
Mr. Allen, excuse me for asking, but do you eat this way at home?
Well, frankly, no. I can't afford it. And now, shall we start breakfast?
Forget my half of the orange, Harriet. I'll just take half an aspirin.
I'll take the other half. Look at these grocery bills. Donuts, $42, and it's only Thursday.
$42. Well, that's a lot of donuts.
Yeah. Every one has been eaten by this boarder of yours, Alan, son of Flicka.
If only he wouldn't take those long walks between meals to work up an appetite.
Now when he goes on those walks, he takes donuts with him.
Last night, watching him eat that double filet mignon with the donuts on top... I got so nervous, I choked on my crust of bread.
We've got to get rid of him. Give him his money back.
But, Harriet, I haven't got the $50. I paid Thornberry for the trailer.
Ozzie, Alan has got to go. He came here for a rest. Well, from tonight on, he's not going to sleep a wink.
That's an idea. I'll go up to the attic and pound on the ceiling of his room all night with a broom handle. Has he gone to bed yet?
I think so. I just heard the icebox door close.
Quick, Harriet, the broom.
Ozzy, you look awful.
Well, I haven't slept for two nights. Oh, if we could only get rid of Alan.
All he does is eat and sleep.
Thursday night, I pounded with that broom all night.
He came down in the morning and said there was a woodpecker on the roof calling his mate.
Friday night, I stood in front of his door for 8 straight hours playing my saxophone.
And every neighbor on the block called the police.
And Alan, he'd just wake up long enough to yell out a request number and then doze off again.
I refuse to spend another day in the kitchen cooking. I've got dishpan hands clear up to my elbows.
Oh, please, Harriet, it's only 3 more weeks.
I don't care if it's only 3 more minutes. Alan goes today. The method is up to you, and remember, a wife can't testify against her husband.
Shh, I hear footsteps.
Ah, good morning, folks. Gad, what a day. The usual breakfast, Harriet. 8 poached eggs and 3 dozen donuts.
Ozzy, this is the last straw. Remember what I said. Today.
But, Harriet,
Ah, you young married people with your little love spat.
Mr. Allen, frankly, things have reached a crisis.
Now, when Harriet comes back, Oswald, just kiss her. Ask her to forgive you.
No, I mean about your staying here.
Well, I'm having a wonderful time. Gad, I can't understand it. I've gained 70 pounds.
It's the kids, you see, Dave and Ricky. You see, they're coming back from camp unexpectedly. Yes, that's it. And they'll need their room, so you'll have to go.
Now, wait a minute, Nelson. Just a minute. I paid you for 4 weeks American plan, $50.
I know, but Mr. Allen...
However, I happen to be a reasonable man if I'm not wanted here.
Mr. Allen, you mean you'll go?
I will go, but I will expect to be reimbursed. My railroad fare here, the cost of my vacation at some swanky resort for the next 3 weeks. I want money for 3 dozen donuts on my trip, and Mr. Nelson, I'll take the cash right now.
Cash, cash. Where can I get the cash? Harriet, he's gone. Mr. Allen's gone.
Oh, Ozzy, quick, let's pack.
Pack?
Sure, hook the trailer on our car. Lake the Hatchapuco, here we come.
Harriet, about the trailer.
Ozzy, we do have a trailer.
Yes, Harriet, we do have the trailer, but...
But what?
Well, to get the money to get Alan out of the house, I had to sell the car.
Ozzy!
Lake the Hatchapuco, here we stay.
Before I remind you, remember Tanner Lee, Steve, and Shepard Cheese in the shopping days next week, making his farewell radio experience of the season, Dr. Rockwell. Thank you and good night. Thank you.
Good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Stunning and evocative, paintings by Mexican artist Teresa Dunn are filling the Sisson Gallery with brilliant colors and compelling themes, now through February 13th. On Thursday, February 6th, at 1 p.m., please join us at the gallery in the Mackenzie Fine Arts Center to hear Ms. Dunn talk about her unique and powerful work. A reception will follow from 3:30 to 6. Please join us to see this wonderful exhibit, now through February 13th.
Many sounds, the many faces of jazz and improvised music can be heard on the Spirits Rejoice radio program every Tuesday from 6 to 10 p.m. right here, WHFR.FM, WHFR Dearborn.
Start their new program by introducing an old model.
You're not kidding.
And here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. In Portland tonight, we have a lot of work to do. Now that this is the Ford Dealers program, you know, we really should have a Ford slogan or something like that. Ford Dealers, you know.
I was up all night writing a jingle.
Oh, really? A Ford Dealers jingle? How does it go?
If your car is on the bum, if your motor doesn't hum, your Ford dealer is the man for you.
He will fix it as good as new.
Say, that's very good, you know. Even the DeMarcos are applauding. They know they have no competition. Hearing that singing, Portland, for a minute, you know, I thought this was the Prudential Hour. I think we'd better let the Ford dealers decide on their own jingles. Tell me, what's in the news this week?
Hildegard was robbed.
Say, I read that.
The burglars took her jewels and fur coat.
Well, I know. You know, when the police got there, Hildegard found that her French accent was gone, too. What? They searched two waiters at Longchamp. They thought, what the? What else is new?
Low State Theater stopped Vaudeville.
Oh, I hate to see Vaudeville go. You know, a lot of big stars played Low State.
Didn't Jack Benny play there?
Yes, Little Axe worked there, too. What an act Benny used to do. You know, his vest was an American flag. He used to wear a cellophane coat so you could look in and see the flag. For the finish of his act, Benny would play the glowworm and his violin would light up.
Is Jack really...
It shows he can't even get laughs on our program.
Is Jack really as cheap as he says he is?
Cheap? Well, he's not doing himself justice. Even today, in Benny's house, they keep the food 2 feet off the ground. 2 feet off the ground, all of the food is hung that way, so that if a mouse does get anything to eat, he has to jump for it. You know, a mouse in Benny's house with a Charlie horse is really out of luck. And luck reminds me, Portland, I'm going to be out of it, too, if I don't start for Allen's out.
What is your question tonight?
Well, on December 26, 1947, New York City had its worst snowstorm since the famous blizzard of 1888. And so our question this evening is, down through the years, what is the worst storm you can recall?
Shall we go?
As Lee Schubert said when somebody asked him who else was in the business, it's Jake with me. Well, here we are back in Allen's Alley, Portland. Say, I guess this Senator Claghorn had a big New Year's Eve. There are 10 empty Broma Seltzer bottles on the front steps there. Well, let's knock.
Who, I say, who's whamming my naughty pine? Oh, it's you again, son.
Yes, Senator.
Well, son, I got the beezy weezies. Have I got a hangover?
You, are.
Yeah, my head feels like there's a porcupine in there pressing his quills against my eyeballs.
Irritating thought. New Year's Eve was too much for you, eh, Senator?
Well, Washington was jumping, son. Yeah. I was invited to 3 different parties.
3?
And I only went to 2 of them.
Well, why, Senator?
Son, I ain't messing around with no third party.
I hope you're not neglecting business.
No, son, I'm working now on a bill to combat inflation.
Well, how can you stop rising prices?
I'm calling in every pair of suspenders in the country.
And when you have every pair of suspenders...
Things will start dropping.
Well, tell me, Senator, what is the worst storm you have ever seen?
Well, the worst snowstorm I ever seen was last week.
Was the snow bad down there in Washington?
Traffic was paralyzed, son. Yeah? Trains was canceled, cars were stalled, buses were tied up.
Gosh.
In Washington, only one thing was running.
What?
Henry Wallace. So long, son. Go on, Henry.
Well, it'll take more than snow to stop Henry, I guess. Hey, let's not keep Mr. Moody waiting.
Howdy, Bob.
Well, Mr. Moody, what is the worst storm you ever remember?
Oh, I reckon it was back in the winter of 91.
It was a bad storm, eh?
Yes. It started off with the wind blowing for 2 days.
The wind, huh?
Yeah. Blew down the telephone wires.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's conversation was laying around all over the ground.
When this terrific wind died down?
Then it snowed.
Yeah?
Flakes was coming down as big as buckwheat cakes.
Say.
Yeah. It snowed steady for 2 whole weeks.
The snow must have covered everything.
Groundhogs was running around with divining rods, trying to find the holes.
Well, what? What happened when the snow stopped?
Then it turned cold.
Well, how cold was it?
Well, sir, my brother, Luther St. Elmo Moody.
Yeah?
A 32nd degree Mason, he went down 10 degrees.
Did all of this snow and cold bother your cattle?
Oh, no. I had my cow all bundled up.
Bundled up, eh?
Yeah. Pulled over her horns, I had a big tam o' shanter.
Yeah?
Round her front legs, I wrapped some heavy Congress gaiters.
Good.
On the cow's back legs, I put an old pair of my fleece-lined pants.
Well, if your cow had pants on her back legs, how could you milk her?
I used to be a pickpocket.
Mr. Moody's in a rare mood this evening. Let's try this next door.
Howdy, Chappie.
Mrs. Nussbaum, what is the worst storm you ever remember?
The first year I am married, sometime back.
Well, naturally. How bad was the storm?
Well, we were living in a tenement, the ground floor suite.
You liked it?
Liked it. The ground floor is convenient.
How come?
When I'm going shopping, I'm simply stepping out the window. I'm on the street.
Oh, I see.
Coming back, I'm stepping in the window.
Yes?
Europa, I am home.
And on the day of the storm?
I'm stepping out the window and going to the movie.
Uh-huh.
I'm seeing 3 double features, 1 newsreel, also surprise, a preview.
Yeah?
The zombie is giving it good to Frankenstein.
And while you were in the theater, the storm started, eh?
I'm coming out the streets with snow as mountains.
You set out for home?
Well, first I'm stopping by Mag's the Delicatessen buying cold cuts.
Uh-huh.
On Wednesdays, my husband Pierre is liking cold cuts.
A gourmet.
Every time.
Well, after buying the cold cuts, you came right home?
I'm walking on top of the snow. I'm stepping in the window. I am home.
And then?
I'm fixing up the cold cuts and sitting down to wait for my husband, Pierre.
Uh-huh.
Then it is happening.
What?
A man is stepping in the window.
Yes.
I'm coming from behind and kissing him.
Yes.
The man is turning around.
And?
Yeah, it is not Pierre.
Not Pierre? You were in the wrong apartment?
The snow is so deep, I'm stepping in a window 3 flights up.
Well, what happened?
Luckily, the stranger is liking cold cuts. We are eating dinner.
Well, here we are. Here we are at the end of the alley with Mr. Cassidy, I imagine, waiting as usual. Well, Ajax, what is the worst what is the worst storm you ever remember?
Me boy, that was back in '11.
'11.
I was a young bucko working in New York City as a mounted policeman.
A mounted policeman?
Well, near the day of the storm, the devil was in me.
Yes?
Up 6th Avenue, I come galloping side saddle.
A mounted policeman riding side saddle?
Oh, I was handing the street cleaners a laugh.
Oh, I see.
You know, I'm backing me horse into windshields and she's making her tail go like a wiper.
I see.
When I arrive at me post, 57th Street, the snow starts coming down.
Uh-huh.
Oh, at 2 o'clock, the snow is up over me horse's withers.
Yes.
At 3 o'clock, it's up over mine.
God.
At 5 o'clock, I'm under the snow entirely. Only me eyes is peeking out.
Yes.
Well, all to once, I seen a big lump coming under the snow.
Yes.
The lump pulls over to the curb.
You mean the lump?
It's a car. The driver is parking his lump next to a hydrant.
What did you do?
Well, I got down off me horse. I'm in 8 feet of snow.
8 feet.
So I butter me way through and I give the car owner a ticket.
Well, how did you get back?
Well, I kept burrowing, feeling me way to the horse.
Fine.
Now, I can't find the stirrup, but I jump up on top.
Good.
All but me head is still under the snow.
Yeah?
I yell, giddy up, and I'm off.
On your way back to the stable.
Right, me boy, I come to 59th Street. Me horse won't turn. I'm yelling, whoa, Bridget, whoa now, whoa, whoa, Bridget won't whoa.
Won't whoa.
Whoosh, I go up Central Park West.
Yes.
Whoosh, I go up through Yonkers, through Mount Vernon. I come to Stamford. Whoa, I stop.
Say, your horse must have been exhausted.
What horse?
You mean that in that snow you hadn't gotten back on your horse?
I'd mounted the Boston bus. Goodbye, here.
The Pearl? Is it about an oyster?
Well, I don't really know. I haven't read it yet. It cost me 3 clams, I know that.
Oysters make pearls.
Well, who knows? I guess it gets pretty dull shut up in those shells. Oysters probably make pearls just, you know, to pass the time.
But it's so dark in their shells. How can oysters see what they're doing?
Well, they wait until night when the starfish come out. But look, I don't want to argue about oysters or Mr. Steinbeck's book either. I had enough trouble buying it.
Trouble? What happened?
Well, I'm glad you asked me. This would be a very short program if you hadn't said that. Friday afternoon, I started out for the bookshop. Here we are, Chaucer Head Bookshop. Say, there's a picture of Rudy Valley in the window. They must be advertising that new book, The Money Man. Well, I'll go in. I wonder if this clerk is busy. Pardon me, miss.
Just a minute, sir. I'm waiting on this gentleman.
Oh, excuse me.
Miss, do you have that new mystery, The Man Whose Face Was on Backwards?
James Mason. James, what are you doing here at the mystery book counter?
I'm just looking around for ideas, Fred. I might find something I can use in my next picture.
Oh.
I've run across some fascinating crimes in this anthology.
Crimes?
Here's one. The Fatal Finger.
The Fatal Finger? What is that?
There's a murder.
Yeah?
The murderer hides in a pastry shop window under a pile of ladyfingers.
And the police catch the murderer?
Immediately.
Well, how?
When the police examine the pastry shop window...
Yes?
They notice that in among the ladyfingers...
Yes?
There is a man finger.
That is an unusual case.
These others are incredible. Here's one. The man with the glass chest.
Well, what is that?
The man has a glass chest.
Yes?
His wife looks in and sees that the man's heart has stopped beating.
His heart has stopped?
Yes, but his wife doesn't tell him.
And?
The man goes on living for 20 years after he's dead.
Say, these stories are unbelievable.
Now, look at this one. The canary with the neon beak.
The canary has a neon beak?
Yes, the canary flies around at night and puts its beak into keyholes.
Yes?
The neon beak lights up and the canary's owner can see to pick the locks.
Look, James. These plots are not for you. This stuff is for Mr. District Attorney or the mystery chef. You
but
know.
Fred.
Look, if you want a real crime story, James, I have written...
No, thank you, Fred. I think I'll look around a little more.
Well, is that all you do here in New York, James? Try to find mystery plots?
No, Fred, I've been making some guest appearances on the radio. Last month, I was on We the People.
We the People's? Hey, that must have been an experience.
It was, Fred. I met some weird characters.
What weird characters? Who was on the show?
Well, there was the midget mermaid.
A midget mermaid?
Yes, she was half girl and half sardine. There was a man who, because of the housing shortage, lived in a bass drum.
Lived in a bass drum? Say, his life must have been rather dull.
On the contrary, this chap got quite a bang out of it.
I can imagine.
The most incredible thing I saw was a man with 3 heads and 6 arms.
3 heads and 6 arms? He was on the program?
No, he was in the audience.
Probably the sponsor. What else have you been doing in your spare time?
Well, we had a rousing New Year's Eve, Fred.
We?
Yes. I spent New Year's Eve with my English friends, Basil Rathbone, Sir Cedric Hardwick, and Roland Young.
Oh, say, what did you four do, James?
Well, we had reservations at a little English place uptown, Ye Old Kipper Copper Kettle.
Ye Old Kipper Copper Kettle, huh?
We arrived promptly at 8:30, put on our paper hats, and sat down.
Yes.
And at 11:30...
Wait a minute. What did you do from 8:30 to 11:30?
Roland Young was telling a very humorous story.
It took 3 hours for Roland Young to tell a funny story?
No, it took 3 hours to explain the joke.
Roland was explaining the joke to you fellows?
No, we were explaining it to Roland.
Well, how did you make out?
Oh, finally we broke it up. We're going to meet someday next week and laugh at it.
I see.
Promptly at midnight, I picked up my tin horn and blew a rousing blast.
Yes?
We raised our glasses and drank a toast.
To see the new year in?
To see Aubrey Smith.
Yeah, James, you went the entire swine.
Yes, Fred. And now that the holiday's over, I'm back trying to find a story for my new...
James, believe me, I have the perfect story for you.
What's it about?
Well, as I have written it, the picture opens with a fanfare.
J. Arthur Allen Pictures Limited present James Mason in...
The Psychopathic Speculator.
Or...
He Made a Killing, But They Called It Murder.
My name is Percy Peters. Tomorrow I shall be hanged for murder. The newspapers will want my story. This is it. For years I've been a gambler, speculating in cotton, oil, wool, and recently grain. Things have been going badly. I owed 50,000 pounds. I had to have the money immediately. I conceived a plan that would make me a millionaire. On the night of December 10th, I was seated in the study preparing my strategy when Chung, my houseboy, entered.
Oh, dinner is served, Mr. Peters.
Later, Chung.
Oh, but the Chung make a special English blue plate. Beef and kidney chow mein, a blow of sub gum, mutton chop suey, everything piping hot.
I'm sorry, Chung, but I'm expecting Sir Hubert Hives, the bee baron.
Oh, Sir Hubert Hives.
Yes. Sir Hubert arrives. When he arrives, show him in immediately.
Very good, sir.
If this deal goes through, tonight I shall be a millionaire. Chung, how would you like to be a millionaire?
Not a Chinaman's chance. Chung, call now.
As I sat there, I went over my plan again in detail. It was perfect. I could wipe out my debts. All that stood between me and £1,000,000 was Sir Hubert Hives.
Announcing it's Sir Hubert Hives.
Oh, Percy, old duck.
Sir Hubert, Percy. Have you brought the bees?
Yes, they're outside in the V-crate, Percy. You can hear them in the hall. I shall open the door. There are 2 million of them.
Excellent, Sir Hubert, excellent.
That'll be 1,000 guineas. I should like to be reimbursed immediately.
You'll have to trust me, Sir Hubert. I'll pay you next week.
I say, no money, no bees. Good night.
Sir Hubert, if you turn me down, I'll lose a fortune. You'll have to let me have those bees.
Over my dead body, Peters.
Very well, if that's the way you want it.
I say, Peters, put down that statue.
I hadn't meant to kill him, but I had to face the facts. Sir Hubert Hives was dead and I was a murderer. Without those 2 million bees, I was lost. I had no choice. I had to brazen it out. I put Sir Hubert's bowler hat back on his head to cover the wound and propped him up in a chair. I placed the broken statue back on the mantel, threw the pieces into the fireplace and picked up the telephone. Hello, hello, give me the police.
Calling Detective One Long Pan. Proceed to Percy Peters' residence at Wickenham Terrace, Houndsditch. There's been foul play. Calling One Long Pan.
Greetings and shalom alaikum, kiddies. Detective One Long Pan, China J. Edgar Hoover on job. Feudin, a fashion, a fightin'. Long Pan get confession, enlightened. Oh, ho, 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 ho. Long Pan potential Burl Ives. Burl Ives.
I say, Celestial, will you stop that infernal racket?
Who are you, Mr. Kibitzer?
I am Percy Peters, master of this house.
Very good, Mr. Peters. Nobody move. Who is that in chair anticipating? Not moving.
He was formerly Sir Hubert Hives. He's dead.
Dead? Long Pan alias you, Mr. Peters, for murder Sir Hubert Hives. Long Pan work fast tonight. Work
this
very
is
fast.
Ridiculous. Sir Hubert died from natural causes.
Why? Why Sir Hubert die in chair and not on floor?
He was very neat.
Also has hat on.
He knew he was leaving.
Very good. Long Pan not horse around. Long Pan examine body. Oh-ho, you see?
What?
Holy smoke, look at body's hand. Look at leg. Look at face. Sir Hubert, they're lumpy.
Sir Hubert was always lumpy. He was a bee breeder.
Bee breeder?
Yes. Only tonight he brought me 2 million bees. They're here in the hall. I'll open the door.
Gee, Jeepers, 2 million bees.
The Hubert was obviously stung many times in the process of packing the bees. The accumulation of poison must have killed him.
You plenty glib, Mr. Percy Peters, but not fool a long pan. Why you catch him two million bees?
I'm very fond of honey.
Oh, exceptionally funny, but not true, Mr. Peters.
Evening, Mr. Peters.
Oh, woman in case. Long pan cherche la dame. Clark Dickon.
Don't be absurd. This is Molly, the upstairs maid.
Molly, confidentially shot the doc and the dumpy. You upstairs maid?
That's right.
Then what you do downstairs?
It's me night off. I'm just coming in.
Oh.
Molly doesn't know anything, Long Pan. She wasn't even in the house.
Exactly. Long Pan, the next question trap you, Mr. Peters. Who was in the house?
Only Chung, my houseboy. I'll ring for
him. Oh, very good. Long Pan grill Chung to fare thee well.
Oh, you were ringing, Mr. Peter?
Chung!
Long Pan!
Oh, Long Pan, oh, see.
Yes, we sing Dong Ming Dong.
Oh, sing Lo Wu Po.
Oh, I'm singing Lo Wu Po Gai Pan.
Wu Po Gai Pan.
You two know each other?
Oh, Chung and Long Pan member same chapter. Anime Wong fan club. Formerly loyal friend Jack Iger.
Oh, yes.
If Chung is your friend, surely you couldn't suspect him.
Long Pan give Chung fast flesh, lutein check. Oh, you see, you catch him on the mandolin coat. You see?
What?
Hey, Lawalawa. Lawalawa. Very good, Chung. You maybe explain Lawalawa.
Oh, very simple. Usually, Lawalawa prepare breakfast, Mr. Peter.
Use Lawalawa prepare breakfast.
Yes, that's right, Long Pan. You see, I like my stereo shot from guns. That's the one he uses.
Oh. Holy smoke. This a gun loaded?
Loaded with wheaties. Don't point.
Oh, back.
Long Pan, now are you satisfied?
Long Pan seemingly baffled, but not for long. Long Pan examined body. Something very suspicious.
Suspicious?
Sir Hubert sitting in chair, gradually growing taller.
Taller? But he's dead.
Sir Hubert suddenly have long forehead. Longer pan than Long Pan. Look at hat.
He always wore his hat high on his head.
But head 2 feet higher than when Long Pan first come in. Long Pan check, you know. On the hat, Sir Hubert has jumbo-sized lump.
Probably inflicted by a jumbo-sized bee.
No. This lump is handmade, caused by blunt instrument.
You mean?
Long Pan arrest you, Mr. Percy Peters, for murder Sir Hubert High.
Pitfall, you say I killed Sir Hubert, but you haven't found a match.
And that's the way the recording ends. Fred Allen from January of 1948. In just a matter of moments, we're going to be listening to The Don McNeil Show with Fred Allen. Then after that, it's King for a Day with Fred Allen and Jack Benny as his guest. That's coming up during the upcoming hour. This is Radio Vault for your Tuesday, of course, until 1 o'clock. Don't forget, in a week, we have got a whole bunch of Valentine's-themed programs for you. And for our last hour for today, we will have the Fifth Avenue Girl from Lux Radio Theater from 1940. That's today's Radio Vault. Thanks for joining us. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio. This is WHFR Dearborn, featuring a local and independent artist. This is Radio Vault, featuring recordings from generations ago. We go now to one from May 9 of 1948, as we feature Fred Allen on WHFR Dearborn, making old-time radio waves.
Start their new program by introducing an old model.
You're not kidding.
And here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. In Portland tonight, we have a lot of work to do. Now that this is the Ford Dealers Program, you know, we really should have a Ford slogan or something like that. Ford Dealers, you know.
I was up all night writing a jingle.
Oh, really? A Ford Dealers jingle? How does it go?
If your car is on the bum, if your motor doesn't hum, you're...
Ford Dealers of America presents the Fred Allen Show. The Fred Allen Show with Fred's guests Don McNeil, Minerva Pius, Peter Donald, Parker Fenley, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And this is Kenny Delmar speaking for your friendly Ford dealer. Gentlemen, this is Mother's Day. If I had my way tonight, I would introduce my mother. But since I have a family to support and I need this job, you know who I'm going to introduce. So here he is again, Fred Allen.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Kenny, I heard you mention Mother's Day. Did you by any chance observe the day?
Oh, I sure did. I sent a big red rose to Ma Perkins.
Oh, that was nice of you, Kenny. She isn't even on today. It'll be a little wilted when Ma shows up in the morning. But Mother's Day always bothers me, Kenny.
How?
Well, a famous humorist, Bugs Bear, once wrote, "In America, we have National Apple Week and Mother's Day, a whole week to glorify an apple and only one day to pay tribute to Mother."
Yeah, why should the apple be more important than Mother?
Kenny, if it wasn't for the apple, there wouldn't be any mothers. Enough about Mater's Day, Kenny. What's new?
Oh, not much, Fred. This is Be Kind to Animals Week.
Well, why should people be kind to animals? Why should people be kind to animals? Dogs are always biting people. Cats are always scratching people. Racehorses are always losing races and costing people money. How about the animals getting together and having a Be Kind to People Week?
Well,
that would be something.
Yeah,
Let's give that a little thought now, because nobody will notice another lull in the program. Think this, then let's mull it over.
I know, but Fred, animals don't have it too easy. How would you like to be a hippopotamus and go around looking like that?
You think that's worse than I look now? Kenny, believe me, Kenny, animals are better off than people. Well, look at the elephant. When he's young, he goes with the circus. The elephant sees the show every day, matinee and night for nothing. Gets all of his meals free, rides all around the country, the Ringling Brothers pay his fare. When he gets old, the elephant is put in some zoo, where he has nothing to do but stand around and let kids stick peanuts up his nose. You can't ask him more
than that. No, that's true. The elephant has it pretty soft.
Kenny, if I had it all to do over again, I would be an elephant and make bee pictures with Sabu. Yes, Sabu and I, and a tree, and Weissmuller maybe in an occasion. Tell me, what else is in the news?
Well,
I would rather be at sea on a night like this. Is in the news.
Well, the new Benjamin Franklin 50-cent piece came out this week.
Oh, I read that.
Why did they put Benjamin Franklin on the new half dollar?
Well, it's the housing shortage, Kenny. Even Franklin can't get new quarters. Speaking, those are the writers. If they'd only write and let it go at that, but they insist on applauding everything they write. If they just go write and drop dead. I mean, just those two things. Speaking of money, Kenny, did you see the Chinese money has recently hit a new low?
Yes.
Chinese money is worth so little now, instead of a safe deposit vault, people are keeping their money in wastebaskets.
Yet when a man in China says, I've made my pile, how can you tell whether he's a millionaire or a street cleaner?
Well, the millionaire... the millionaire doesn't have a broom with him, Kenny. His paper is clean. That's really how you can tell. Tell me, is there anything else new, Kenny?
Yes, there is. Next Tuesday night, Henry Wallace's radio speech will take the place of the Red Skelton program.
Say, if Wallace keeps Skelton off the air, Kenny, it's good for 2 million votes. But somebody better tell Willie the Penguin.
Yeah, why?
Well, it isn't going to help Mr. Wallace's campaign if he comes on the air and radio listeners hear a voice say, my fellow countrymen, smoke cool, smoke cool, smoke cool. And while you wait around to see if there is a delayed reaction to that joke, Kenny, I think I'll start ahead for Allen's Alley.
Yeah, what is your question tonight, Fred?
Well, this past week, the Pulitzer Prizes were awarded for outstanding work in journalism, playwriting, poetry, and other fields. And so our question is, are you satisfied with the Pulitzer Prize Awards this year?
Shall we go?
As the rainwater said when it got to the top of the barrel, I think I'll run over. Ah, it's good to get back to Allen's Alley, Kenny. I guess the senator just washed his hair. His toupee is hanging on the line. See, the old pompadour is waving in the wind there. Let's now.
Somebody put the thud to my lumber. Oh, it's you, ferret face.
Yes, Senator.
Well, let's go, son. I'm busier than a man with one tooth eating corn on the cob.
Oh, now, nobody could be that.
I'm heading the Senate committee on that new clam survey.
Clam survey?
Yeah, the government's spending $500,000 to increase clam production.
Oh.
My job's to see that the boy clams start courting the girl clams.
Senator, don't tell me that clams make love.
Son, you have no idea what goes on under them shells. Yeah, I'm hustling every minute. I'm busy on that national health plan, too.
Health? National health?
Yeah, I'm studying vitamins. That's the secret of health, son, vitamins.
Vitamins?
If vitamin A don't cure you, go to vitamin B. If B don't get results, go to C, D, E, F, or G.
But if all the vitamins from A to G don't work?
Go to H.
Senator!
H has in vitamins, that is.
Oh. I was about to wash your mouth out with the Lever Brothers, Senator. Senator, I read that this week is the president's birthday.
Yes, son.
Is the president going to have a party?
He's worried if the party's going to have him.
This is a good time to stop the program. I'm going home. I'll see you. Tell me, Senator, how do you feel about the Pulitzer Prize Awards this year?
Well, son, the wrong book got the prize.
Wrong book?
The most important book this year is Fanny Farmer's Cookbook.
Yeah,
this year, 20 million of them books will be sold.
20 million?
Every Republican voter is buying a Fanny Farmer cookbook.
Why?
Next November, they're going to try to cook the Democrats' goose. So long, son. So long, idiot.
Sounds as though the senator's getting ready to duck with his goose. Well, let's see if Mr. Moody's here.
Howdy, Bob.
Mr. Moody, do you tell me confidentially, do you approve of all of the Pulitzer Awards?
Why, not the most interesting story of the year, I don't.
No?
No. The most interesting story of the year, it happened on my farm.
Really? What was it?
Well, sir, one night last winter, my roan mare, Big Babe, was whinnying and moaning in her stall.
Uh-huh.
I called Dr. Gidney Pruitt. He's the vet.
The vet, huh?
Big Babe was laying on the floor groaning, and she was pointing to her stomach with her hooves.
No kidding.
Doc Pruitt, he says, it's her appendix, sure as you're born.
The doctor operated?
He made an incision from her fetlock to her withers.
He did.
I held the incision open.
Yeah.
The doc, he's a little fella.
Yeah.
He stepped inside the mare.
He got inside the horse?
Doc had his derby hat on and was carrying a lantern.
God.
As I was saying, I could see different parts of the horse light up, so I knew the doc was looking around inside.
You trailed him, eh?
Yeah. Finally, Doc, he steps out a Big Babe.
Uh-huh.
He's as white as a good humor man's pants.
Frightened, eh?
Doc says, Moody, he says, this mare is a freak.
A freak?
He says she's got the outside of a horse.
Yes.
But she's got the stomach of a hen.
The stomach of a hen?
Yeah. Doc says she ain't got no appendix.
You mean all that pain?
Doc says she's trying to lay an egg.
Well, what finally happened?
Well, sir, Big Babe, she laid a dirty-looking egg 3 foot long, and it had fur on it. I hatched the egg.
You hatched the egg, and?
Inside, there was a chicken as big as a St. Bernard.
A chicken?
And that chicken had a harness on. So long, Bug.
That sure is the story of the year. Well, let's try this next door.
Howdy, Chappie.
Oh, Mrs. Nussbaum. Say, you're eating. Am I disturbing your dinner?
Oh, no, I'm just enjoying a snack.
Yes?
A little oleo on a bagel.
Oh. On a bagel? What is a bagel?
Just looking like a donut. Just feeling like a donut, but it is tasting like plaster.
Oh, like that. Well, that bagel you have there looks hard.
Eating through the side, it is tough.
Uh-huh.
But when you are coming to the hole, it is delicious.
I see. Well, Mrs. Nussbaum, how do you feel about the Pulitzer Awards?
For poetry, to me, they are making a big mistake.
Poetry?
For 1947, the outstanding poem is written by John Greenbaum Whittier.
John Greenbaum Whittier.
Confidentially, the Whittier is a nom de plume.
Oh, a nom de plume. But he is a poet.
He is getting his inspirations mostly in delicatessens while eating a la carte.
Well, tell me, what is John Greenbaum Whittier's outstanding poem for 1947?
All hail Sir Herring.
All hail Sir Herring. And how does it go?
All hail Sir Herring, monarch supreme, lying in state in your sour cream. Born a minnow, did you know you were fated in later life to be marinated? Swimming the seven seas off the West Indies, little thinking one day you would end up in Lindy. All hail Sir Herring, I am here to greet you. You will give me gas, but I'm going to eat you.
Well, at the end of the alley, we come as usual to the Cassidy Preserves. Let's arouse Ajax Cassidy. How are you tonight?
Army boy, I'm at death's door. I'm just fumbling for the key.
What's wrong?
I've got a touch of virus Y.
Virus Y? You mean virus X?
So I caught this at the Y.
Oh, it's the Y. Didn't know you remember.
not long for this water.
Well, tell me, before you pass out, Ajax, what was your reaction to the Pulitzer Prize award?
Me boy, I'm disgusted.
Disgusted? Why?
A streetcar named Desire was voted the best play.
Well, I know it was written by Tennessee Williams.
Tennessee Williams. The best play was written by North Carolina Nolan.
North Carolina Nolan?
His play was called The Respectful Potato.
Oh, I see.
It was a symbolic fantasy that told the entire history of Ireland in three significant acts.
Well, what is this play, The Respectful Potato, about?
I'll tell you. Now, as the curtain goes up, the stage is bare.
Yes?
In the center, there's a potato.
I see.
The potato only has one eye. The eye is closed.
Oh.
The curtain comes down. That's the end of Act One.
Very entertaining. Now, fine.
Now, there's a short intermission, you see. The curtain goes up again.
Yes.
The potato is still alone on the stage, but its one eye is open.
Uh-huh.
The audience sees there is something in the potato's eye.
Yes.
It is the finger of a hungry man.
Oh,
the curtain comes down. That's the end of Act Two.
Well, after another intermission?
The curtain goes up. The potato's one eye is looking toward England. And in the eye, there is a tear. Down comes the curtain. The play's over.
Well, tell me, what became of the author, North Carolina Nolan?
Oh, the author never wrote another play. He was never heard of again.
Really? What happened?
Well, the opening night, you see, they charged $6 to see The Respectful Potato.
Yes?
When the final curtain come down, the audience cried, "Author! Author!
Author! Author!"
When North Carolina Nolan strutted out on the stage to take his bow with the potato.
Yes?
The audience rose as one man, which it was.
And then... And this one man...
He killed North Carolina Nolan on the spot. Good boy, dear.
Thank you. And now Maestro Al Goodman signals us to be tested, calling the five DeMarco sisters to his podium. Maestro Goodman gives the DeMarcos a downbeat for Babyface Girl.
Rosy cheeks and turned up nose and curly hair. I'm raving about my baby now. Dimples there.
Don't want to live without him.
You love him, goodness knows.
I wrote a song about him. And
here's the way it goes. Baby face, you've got the cutest little baby face. There's not another one could take your place. Baby face, my poor heart is jumping. You sure have started something, baby face. I'm up in heaven when I'm in your fond embrace. I didn't need a job, cause I just fell in love with your pretty baby face. Baby face, I'm in heaven when I'm in your fond embrace. I didn't need a job, cause I just fell in love with your cute, sweet baby
thank you very much. And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Fred.
Yes, Kenny.
Ajax Cassidy is outside to see you.
Ajax Cassidy, send him in.
Yeah, okay. Come right in.
Come right in, Ajax.
I am in, me boy.
Say, when I left you a few moments ago in Allen's Alley, you were all right. Where did you suddenly get that black eye?
Oh, well, no, that's a long story, me boy. I was driving along in me Ford, minding me own business.
Yes?
When who should I spy reading his evening paper by the light of a frozen food store but Rinty Monaghan?
I see.
Well, I pulled me car over to the curb. Says I, the top of the evening to you, Mr. Monaghan.
Well, never mind that. What about the black eye?
Well, that explained itself as we story unfolded.
Oh, I should be patient. Go right ahead.
All right. Well, I was taking me Ford back home for service.
Yes?
But Rinty insisted that instead we should go to Kerrigan's Cozy Corner.
Well, wait a minute, Ajax. This is very interesting, Ajax, but what did you come here to see me about?
You know, it's entirely slipped me mind. Goodbye.
Well, some other time. Some other time.
just heard a trailer of Nature Boy, played by Maestro Al Goodman and his Snug Harbor syncopators. And now, ladies and gentlemen, say, Kenny.
Yes, Fred.
Have you another Ford commercial you can read? I think I'll go and lie down for a few minutes, Kenny. I'm dead.
You look tired, Fred.
Yes, I really am. I've been up every morning this week at 6 o'clock trying to see Don McNeil.
Who is Don McNeil?
Who is Don McNeil? He's only the Jack Igan of Chicago, Kenny. Why, Don's Breakfast Club has been on the air out there for over 15 years. This week he's broadcasting from New York. What I had to go through to see Don McNeil's program.
What happened?
Well, I couldn't get a ticket for the Breakfast Club anyplace. And I heard that Don McNeil was having a contest, a novel contest. He was going to stand on Fifth Avenue, and the first person who recognized Don was going to be his guest on the program the next morning, you see. Now, it was up to me. If I could find Don, I could get in to see his show.
And you?
Thursday, that's your line, is it? Thursday evening, right after the Breakfast Club broadcast, I started up Fifth Avenue. Fifth Avenue sure crowded. I hope I can find Don McNeil. Say, maybe this gentleman. Pardon me, sir.
Yeah?
I wonder...
Hey, the creep, you can't panhandle on Fifth Avenue. This is my territory. Blow, bum.
Gad, what a gamey-looking character. Say, he couldn't be Don McNeil. Or could he? Oh, no, no. Don wouldn't be in his bare feet wearing a faded beret with an old army overcoat. Say, this chap with the elk's tooth coming. Pardon me, sir. Is your name...
Yes, I'm Don McNeil.
No! Mr. McNeil, I do hope I'm the first one to recognize you.
Yes, sir, you're the lucky winner.
Gosh, Mr. McNeil, how did you know I was looking for you?
Well, I can tell you're a typical Breakfast Club listener.
Really?
Yes, you come from a small town in the Middle West.
Yeah.
You have a wife and 3.2 children.
Yeah.
You have an Acme Mutual 40-year endowment policy, which expires at the age of 75. Guarantees you $12 a week in absolute security as long as you live.
Yeah.
You read 3 comic books a week, and you're rooting for the Dodgers to win the pennant. In other words, you're the average man.
Now, wait a minute. I'm not from the Middle West. I have no insurance. I like Jersey City in the International League, and I am not the average man.
No?
No.
Well, then how come you listen to my program?
Well, I think your program is great, Mr. McNeil. I buy everything you advertise. Why, I'm eating Swift's hams, I'm keeping my hams in a Philco refrigerator, and tomorrow I'm giving myself a Tony Permanent.
Wow.
My 3 hairs are going to have a time tomorrow.
And tomorrow morning you're going to be my guest on the Breakfast Club.
I'm finally going to see your program.
Yes, sir. If I'm going to interview at the microphone, interview you, I'm going to have to know something about you.
Oh,
what's your name?
Oh, I thought you ad-libbed that. You don't, you have the things.
Oh, yes.
My name is Allen, Fred Allen.
Oh. What business are you in, Mr. Allen?
Well, I'm in the radio business.
Oh? What do? Repair work?
Well, not yet. Tonight may tell the story. Right now, as I'm on my way to my repair business, I have my own program. I'm learning it from the bottom up, the business, you see. So you've never heard the name of Allen in radio?
Well, no. The only programs I know are the Fitzgeralds, Tex and Jinx, Mrs. Goes A-Shopping, and my show, The Breakfast Club.
Oh, that's the morning. I'm not on in the morning. I'm on at night.
At night? You mean
there
are programs actually on the radio after the sun goes down?
This is a revelation to you?
Oh, yes. Every morning out of Chicago, I'm up at 6. I go on the air at 8 o'clock. Around 7 at night, I'm all in. I go to bed.
You've never heard of Bob Hope, Fibber McGee, Jay Benny?
Well, one night... I stayed up real late one night. I tuned in a fella, Gabriel something.
Uh-huh.
He yelled, good news. Well, Before I found out what the good news was, I dozed off.
Oh, well, that's Gabriel Heater. He's a news commentator.
Well, that's news to me. I don't know.
Don, you don't know what you're missing not being up at night. Why, radio's going on, there's television going on.
Television? What's that?
Well, it's like radio, only with pictures.
Oh.
People at home can see what the people in the studio are not laughing at.
I see.
You see, they understand it.
Yeah. Well, how does this work, this television?
Well, they send pictures. They take a picture, and they send these pictures through the air, you see.
Oh, that explains it.
Explains what?
Yeah, yesterday in a tavern, I was nursing a glass of root beer.
Yes.
Well, suddenly, something lit up, and some little man came out of the wall and started playing baseball.
Don, if you were in a saloon, that was television.
Glad you told me. I was going to switch from root beer to ginger ale. I got to be running along now, Fred. I'll see you at the breakfast club tomorrow morning.
I'll be there for sure. So long. Well, Kenny, the next morning, I was guest on the Breakfast Club program. After the show, Don said...
Well, Fred, how'd you like my program?
Oh, it's wonderful, Don. Watching you work gave me a great idea for a radio program.
Something new?
Yes. Today in radio, quiz programs are giving away money, refrigerators, automobiles, houses.
Yeah.
Radio is soon going to be bankrupt. Now, my program will put radio back on its feet again, and you can be my master of ceremonies.
Well, what's your program like?
Well, instead of giving things to people, my program will take things away from people.
Ah, what's your show called?
Break the Contestant.
Ah.
Now, as Break the Contestant starts, you hear a fanfare.
Wake up, folks. Here it is, the revolutionary quiz program, Break the Contestant. Break the Contestant is brought to you by Lefkowitz's Liverwurst.
Lefkowitz's Liverwurst is the finest in the land. When you want the best in liverwurst, Lefkowitz is the brand. It's round and firm and it's fully packed, and you get twice as much. Try feeling a Lefkowitz Liverwurst. It's the skin you love to touch. Oh, it's chock-a-block full of vitamins. It's nutritious and delicious. Try serving it after the opera night with cold cuts and with conditions. You can buy it by the inch, your foot on the Bowery or at the wrist. When you want the best in liverwurst, it's made by Lefkowitz.
Folks, you suffer from liverwurst hangovers? Does the liverwurst you eat keep you awake at night? Try Lefkowitz's Liverwurst, the liverwurst that comes with a sleep guarantee. Lefkowitz Liverwurst lets you sleep. Why? Because Lefkowitz's Liverwurst contains sheep livers. No more counting sheep at night. The sheep livers... Didn't expect it there. These sheep livers are counted for you at the factory and then stuffed into Lefkowitz's Liverwurst. Remember, if you don't sleep after eating the big economy size 7-foot liverwurst, here's all you have to do. Return the greasy string from the top of your liverwurst, and Lefkowitz will send you by return mail. This offer is not good in Canada or in the United States. And now, on with our quiz, Break the Contestant. And here he is, your contestant breaker, Don McNeil.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you very much. Now, our first contestant is this lady with the mink wedgies. Your name, Adam?
Blossom Nesselrode, formerly a housewife.
Formerly?
Yeah, me husband threw me out at the house.
I see. Blossom, are you ready to play Break the Contestant?
Shoot the questions to me, Don, boy. I got a moving van outside waiting to be loaded.
No, wait a minute. This is a different kind of a quiz. You play with your own money.
My own money? Rudd it. This is the end of radio.
How much money have you, Blossom?
I got $8.
Good. All right. I'll bet you $8 against your $8. Now, what category have you chosen?
Politics.
All right. Here we go, Blossom. For $8. Who is the president of the United States?
It's too soon to tell. We ain't had the election yet.
I'm sorry. The country does have a president.
You'd never know it the way things is going.
Blossom, now, who is the president?
I give up.
The answer is Harry Truman.
Okay, you pulled a fast one, but here's your $8.
Is that all you have?
Yeah, I'm flat broke. Which way is Ralph Edwards?
There goes another contestant. Leaving the studio without a stand. Blossom, stop panhandling the page boy, if you please. All right, boy. This stuff shouldn't be written for me. Stand by while we break the next contestant. This gentleman, your name, sir?
Lomax Nishbol.
What? what is your occupation, Mr. Nichols?
I work in the automat. I'm a lettuce bender.
Lettuce bender, the automat?
Yeah, sometimes when they put a salad in one of them little compartments, the wet lettuce hangs out and they can't close the door, you see.
And you?
I bend the lettuce back so they can close the door. With rhubarb, it's stiff. I bite it off.
All right, Mr. Nishball, are you ready to play Break the Contest?
Yes, sir.
How much money do you have?
Well, I ain't got no money. All I own in the world is what I got on.
Oh, you've
got
to bet something.
Well, all right. Tell you what, I'll bet you my coat against your coat.
Mr. Nishball, you got yourself a bet
Nishball.
Here. Yeah. What category have you chosen?
Music.
All right, it's your coat against my coat. Now, here's your first question, Mr. Nishball. Who wrote the Kachaturian Saber Dance?
The Kachaturian...
That's correct, Mr.
Oh,
Nishball.
Correct, really?
You and my coat, I'll
well,
take
say.
Fine. You now have two coats. Would you like to try for four?
Four coats? Yes, sir. I'd like to try for four coats.
All right. In one word, finish the line of this popular song. Bongo, 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 I don't want to leave the what?
Bongo, bongo, bongo.
One word.
Manana?
No. Bongo, 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 I don't want to leave the Congo.
Oh, that's a song?
Yes, you lose, Mr. Nishball. I'll take my coat back and your coat,
here,
too.
You take your
mind.
Coat. You have the both coats now.
Yes.
All right. What's your next question, Mr. McNeil?
What are you betting, Mr.
Let me see. What's that? Oh, my belt. I'll bet you my belt.
All right. For one belt, what was Peter Tchaikovsky's middle name?
Bongo, bongo,
no.
Bongo.
I'm sorry.
It's
lost
again.
Yeah. Take off your belt.
I lost again.
Thank
well,
you
I'm,
very much.
I'm gradually getting the hang of it. I'm getting the hang of it.
What do you want to bet now?
Well, what could I bet now?
Yeah.
Well, all I've got left to bet is my trousers.
Your pants.
You'll be sorry.
Come on, give me the question. I got to win back me coat and belt, Mr. McNeil.
All right. For one pair of pants, who wrote Alexander's Ragtime Band?
Alexander?
No, I'm sorry. It was Irving Berlin.
Could you repeat the question?
No.
Could you repeat the answer?
Now quit stalling, Mr. Nushball. You lost your pants. Come on, take them off. Give
well,
them
all
come
right,
on.
Mister. I don't know. I can't. There's your pants, Mister.
My goodness. Oh, Mr. Nushball.
I thought this might happen.
Yes, you... Why did you put on the pink bloomer?
Which way is Phil Spitalny? Which way is... Thank you, Don McNeil, for joining us tonight. Next week, our guest will be Miss Gracie Fields. Thank you and good night. Good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Passion, music, and storytelling come to life on stage. Join us for Torn Apart Together, a dynamic musical theater showcase featuring talented students from Henry Ford College and the University of Michigan, Dearborn. Directed by Vanessa L. Zane Lai, this unforgettable performance takes center stage at the Adre Auditorium in the Fine Arts Building at the Henry Ford College. Catch the show Saturday, February 15th at 7 p.m. or Sunday, February 16th at 3 p.m. Tickets are just $10 general admission and $5 with an HFC or U of M Dearborn ID. Get your tickets now at hfcc.edu/campus-life/theater. Presented by the HFC Theater Department and Henry Ford College Fine and Performing Arts. Don't miss it.
If you can't find him, kiddies, Titus Moody will take over.
The Fred Allen Show. With Fred's guests, Mary Livingston's husband, Portland Hoffa, Minerva Pius as Mrs. Nussbaum, Alan Reed as Falstaff Openshaw, Parker Fenley as Titus Moody, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And until I start tooting the claghorn, my name is Kenny Delmar. Thank you. gentlemen, Shakespeare said, to be or not to be. Benjamin Franklin said, remember, time is money. But for the last 8 months, all I've said is, here he is again, Fred Allen.
Thank you and good evening. Thank you and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Kenny, I happen to overhear your opening remarks. Lad, if you are unhappy in your work...
Well, how can I be happy, Fred? Every Sunday, what do? I have one line. Here he is again.
Kenny, the man who invented the telephone only had one line when he started.
Mr. Allen!
Well, pardon. Well, Portland, pull up an old rejoinder and sit down. What's new?
Mama says Friday is your birthday.
That's right.
How old are you?
Nobody knows, Portland. I was born before the Decca Company started, so there weren't any records in those days.
Mama says
Now, don't you laugh. Don't you start laughing. You're going to establish a precedent in here. I want to know about it. Come to me.
Mama says last year when the candles on your birthday cake melted down...
Yeah?
There was enough grease to wax the floor at Roseland.
Oh, I'm not that old, Portland.
Mama says if you were a piece of furniture, you'd be an antique.
Yeah. If I was an antique in radio, I'd be Duncan's other fife. That's life, I guess, Portland.
Mama says life is like the Australian fig bird.
The Australian fig bird?
It lives on the seeds and figs.
But there aren't any figs in Australia.
The Australian fig bird dies at birth.
And the Australian fig bird has nothing on our jokes, let me think. I think we'd better get along to Allen's Alley, Portland.
What is your question tonight?
Well, recently, a Mr. Ralph Slater, a specialist in mental suggestion, made a phonograph record that he guarantees will put any insomniac to sleep. And so our question is, do you have any trouble sleeping? And if you do, what are you doing about it?
Shall we go?
As the dollar dinner said when the glutton sat down, I'll be gone in a minute. It's so good to get back to Allen's Alley, Portland. It's as quiet as an eel coiling in a bucket of whipped cream. Say, I wonder if the senator is in. Let's knock.
Somebody, I say, somebody knock.
Yes,
Claghorn's the name, Senator Claghorn, that
well,
is.
Look, I know.
Something tells me you don't remember me, son.
Look, I remember you.
I'm from the South. The Pone and Possum Paradise.
Now, look, Senator.
The only plant life I have around my house is a Virginia creeper.
Now, wait a minute.
Every time I get chicken pox, they're southern fried.
Senator.
Remember me now, son?
No.
Don't say no in my presence.
Why not?
N-O, that's North abbreviated.
Wait a minute, Senator. What about this sleeping problem?
When I first went to the Senate, I had plenty of trouble sleeping. After the roll was called, I'd put on my sailsucker nightshirt and my Lindsay Woolsey beret.
Yeah,
I'd face the South, lean back, close my eyes.
And go to sleep, huh?
Until some Yankee pigeon plucker would get up, start flapping his lips, and break up my Morpheus filibuster.
Heard you the first time, Senator. Are you still losing sleep, Senator?
No, I've solved my problem, son.
How?
When I'm ready to sleep in the Senate, I sit back and croon myself my southern lullaby.
What is your southern lullaby?
Rock-a-bye, small fry on the cotton tree top. When the southern wind blows, your cradle will rock. When the wind's from the north, I say, baby, you'll bawl. For down will come cradle, tree, and you all.
Well, very good, Senator. So long, Senator. So long, Senator. So long. Well, the Senator stopped just in time. I was dozing off myself. Say, I wonder how Titus Moody is doing.
Howdy, bub.
You're starting to sound like Dennis Day, Titus. Do you have any trouble sleeping?
I only half sleep.
Half sleep?
I got short eyelids.
With short eyelids, you can't close your eyes, eh?
Only when I frown.
Oh, I see. Well, are you the only one awake on the farm?
No, daylight saving time has got everything in a swivet.
The animals are bewildered?
Yeah, my cow had insomnia.
Your cow didn't sleep at all?
The bags under her eyes were so big, I didn't know which end to milk.
You were confused, eh?
Yeah. First time I milked the wrong end and got two buckets full of homogenized tears.
Well, have you cured the cow's insomnia?
I got a book on hypnotizing.
Good.
I stood in front of the cow.
Yeah.
I stared right into her eyes.
Uh-huh.
I started waving with my hand.
Uh-huh.
I said, "Alagazam, alagazen, you ain't a cow, you're a hen."
You're a hen. Well, was your hypnotism a success?
Yeah. Today, that cow thinks she's a hen.
Well, how do you know?
Well, she's sitting on a nest.
You mean?
She's laying eggnogs. So long, bud.
Let's try this next door here.
No.
Oh, Mrs. Nussbaum.
You were expecting maybe Hoagy Carbuncle.
Tell me, Mrs. Ann, do you have trouble sleeping?
Who could sleep? Every night with his dreaming, my husband Pierre is waking me up.
He dreams, huh?
Always he has different things.
Dreams he's different things? How do you mean?
One night, Pierre is dreaming he is the lone stranger.
Yeah.
All night long, he is yelling, "Hi-ho, Silver!"
Hi-ho, Silver, huh?
Upstairs is living a Mr. Silver.
Yeah.
All night, he is yelling back, "Hi-ho, Nussbaum!"
I see.
Pierre is dreaming he is an automobile, a roadster.
A roadster?
In his pajamas, Pierre is sleeping with the top down.
Oh. Fine.
Once, he is dreaming he is an Alka-Seltzer.
An Alka-Seltzer?
All night, Pierre is fizzing.
Well, no wonder. No wonder you can't sleep.
Last night, he should drop dead.
What happened?
He is dreaming he is a tea kettle.
A tea kettle, huh?
All night long, Pierre is whistling.
Whistling?
In the morning when he is waking.
Yeah?
In bed with Pierre is 20 dogs.
Well, that brings us to the lavender shanty at the end of the alley. Let's try here.
You knocked 3 times. Do you think that's nice? In my last picture, the postman rang twice.
Ah, Falstaff, you have new poems tonight?
Indubitably. Hast heard, said the little bear to the big giraffe, "Let's eat a hyena just for a laugh"?
No.
Or, when I called her baby, her face lit up because she had a lantern jaw?
No.
How about this? Mother's home putting spikes in her shoes. She's playing first base for Vera Cruz.
Now, wait a minute, Falstaff. You exponent of the hackney, tonight we are discussing the problem of sleep.
My poem awaits your bidding.
And what is your shut-eye sonata called?
My recipe for slumber.
How does it gee?
If you cannot sleep at night and you don't know what to do, my recipe for slumber is just the thing for you. Don't waste time taking powders. Don't bother counting sheep. Don't dawdle in a hot bath hoping you will sleep. Don't give up drinking coffee. Don't send for any gland man. You can eat and drink all night, and still you'll meet the Sandman. My recipe for slumber is older than the Sphinx. Just cut 20 tiddlies into halves, and you'll get 40 winks.
Well, thank you. And as Falstaff runs for cover, we turn to greet the DeMarco sisters. Accompanied by Maestro Al Goodman, and as I haven't got a joke for them this week, Philharmonic, the DeMarco sing, "Doing What Comes Naturally."
Folks are dumb where I come from. They ain't had any larnin'. Still they're happy as can be, a-doin' what comes naturally. Folks like us could never fuss with school books and larnin'. Still we've gone from A to Z, a-doin' what comes naturally.
was just a short order of Who Do You Love, I Hope, played by Maestro Al Goodman and his 40 men who...
This is Studio 6A,
hey, wait a minute,
folks.
Wait a minute.
This glass booth is the control room.
Say, just a minute.
That little man with the mildew on him is a vice president.
Say, wait a minute. What is this?
This is a Radio City 60-cent tour. Okay, folks, let's get going. Hey, wait a minute. I got a stowaway here.
A stowaway in a tour?
Only 15 people paid. Now I got 16.
Who would be low enough to sneak into a tour to save 60 cents?
There's the guy. Hey, you!
Who, me?
Jack Benny. Jack.
Come on, Jack. I'm going to get 60 cents out of you.
Take your hand off my spine. Put me down.
Yes, guide. Put Mr. Benny down. I'll give you the 60 cents.
Wait a minute, Fred. Wait a minute. Put that money away.
But, Jack...
I've only seen half the tour.
Well, Jack...
Give him 30 cents.
Here you are, guide.
Thanks. Follow me, folks. Now, on your right is a water cooler.
But, Fred, it was nice of you to pay that 30 cents.
Oh, it was nothing?
Nothing, he says. 30 cents.
Jack, how can you be so cheap?
All right, go ahead. Be like the other radio comedians. Tell some cheap jokes. Say I'm tighter than the skin on Sidney Greenstreet's hip. I squeeze a nickel so hard, the E pluribus laps over the unum. Tell him.
Well, Jack, I didn't...
Oh, start insulting me after I made a special trip up here just to say goodbye before I leave for Hollywood.
Well, Jack, I...
All of a sudden, I'm cheap. I won't even eat in the sun. My shadow might ask me for a bite.
Your shadow has teeth? Jack, don't get excited. Look, if you're cheap, you're cheap.
That's the way I look at it. Some people save asparagus ends. It's a hobby. My hobby is not spending.
Well, Jack, if there ever was a time that you and I should not argue, this is the time.
What do you mean, this is the time?
Well, haven't you heard? A lot of the radio programs that have been on for many years have been canceled.
Well, that's radio, Fred. It's dog eat dog. I always say, only the fit survive.
Oh, how true. By the way, you finished tonight, didn't you?
Yes, sirree. Tonight was my last show of the season. The season ends, the sponsor shakes hands with me, and then we... Yike!
Jack, what's wrong?
Tonight he didn't shake hands.
Well, that's what happened to the street singer. At the end of the year, his sponsor used to wink. One year he didn't wink, the street singer was back in the street.
Fred, why should my sponsor want to get rid of me? Well, I'm funnier than I was when I started, and I'm getting less money.
Really?
Some weeks when he's short, I take tobacco. I hate to get these big laughs on your program.
Let's face it, Jack. Radio needs new blood. Who knows? We may be through.
I've been on radio 14 years. They can't throw me aside like an old shoe.
But, Jack...
14 years. And now, like an old shoe.
But, Jack, you with that and yipe. 14 years is a long time.
Fred, what has Mark Perkins got that I haven't got? Only longer commercials. That's it.
Well, Jack, you know how it is in radio. Today you're a star. Tomorrow Ralph Edwards is hitting you in the face with a pie.
Like an old shoe.
Well, cheer up, Jack. At least we have our memories. We've known each other for 30 years.
Yep. The first time I met you, Fred, I was just a kid in school. A diller, a dollar, a 10 o'clock scholar.
You were the only 10 o'clock scholar I ever saw with 5 o'clock shadow.
How I could use some of that fuzz today. I could use a good joke today, too.
The next time we met, we were in Vaudeville, remember? You were doing a musical act.
Playing the violin. What a finish I had. When I played Glowworm, my violin lit up.
With those neon strings, it was beautiful.
Fred, remember my encore?
Encore?
Remember I'd put the violin bow in my teeth, bend the crab, and play Listen to the Mockingbird?
And as you bent the crab, two mockingbirds flew out of the back of your pants?
I stopped every show.
Except this one. Remember the closing...
last one stopped 5 minutes before I got on it.
Stop with Cash Daily. Remember that week in Needles, Arizona, the closing act, Cohen's Camels?
The closing act.
Jack, how could you forget Cohen's Camel?
Cohen, I remember. My sponsor told me to forget that other word.
Those were the happy days. The next time I saw you, you were just going into radio.
Radio. I remember the morning Marconi called me up.
Marconi?
Marconi and Singing Sam had a little radio station in a doorway down on the east side. The antenna was a Western Union boy holding a wire.
Well, I guess
it's... These kind of jokes don't fit me.
No, they don't.
The antenna. When did I ever say antenna on my own show?
Well, it's all over, Jack. We've come to the end of the rainbow.
Like an old shoe.
Like there it is again.
Been on 10 minutes already. I've only had it for an old shoe. Oh, I forgot antenna.
Yeah. We ought to get a boot out of that old shoe by now.
No, I'm sorry I brought it back in again. Seems like only yesterday I ran into the May Company and said, Mary, stop demonstrating that Brillo. That's another word I don't know.
It goes
We're
on top of
work.
An antenna. A Brillo fits on an antenna. Cheer up, Jack. When you're retired, you can tune in on my program.
Your program? You mean you're not getting thrown out of radio, too?
Well, why should I?
Listen, if my program is old stuff, you with that broken-down Allen's Alley.
No, well, wait, I mean my new show.
New show?
People don't want entertainment today. A radio show has to give away things. Nylons, iceboxes, automobiles.
You mean... To stay on the air, you have to give things away? Free?
Yes.
I'll die first.
Well, not me. I'm auditioning my new program tonight.
And you're giving things away?
Tons of stuff.
To strangers?
What's the difference who gets it?
Well, Fred... As long as I'm here in the studio...
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Jack. Professional... Professional people cannot participate. It's a rule.
But don't you ever find people on these programs changing their names to get something for nothing?
Well, occasionally we do catch a phony, but we're on the air. What can we do?
Nothing. You have to give them the merchandise?
That's right.
Hmm.
Now, Mr. Allen, we're ready for your audition.
I'll run along, Fred. So long.
So long, Jack.
Giving away things for nothing.
Well, all right, Mr. Goodman, let's try out my new show.
How would you like to be king for a day? Ah! And here he is, the man who will change one of you nobodies into king for a day, the old kingmaker himself, Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you. And good evening. Did all you folks in the audience like those $1,000 bills you found on your seats when you came in? Good. And if you want more, there'll be a big bag of money at the door. On your way out, help yourselves. But the stage is loaded with hundreds of presents for the first man to answer our jumbo jackpot question. He will be king for a day. And here is our first eager contestant. Good evening, sir. What is your name?
Abner Flog.
Mr. Flog, how old are you?
I'm 98.
98 years old.
And don't pin no orchid onto me.
No orchid, eh?
That's how I lost my wife.
On a quiz program?
Yeah. My wife was 102. A fella pinned an orchid onto her.
I see.
The weight of the orchid bent my wife over and snapped her spine.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, my wife won first prize, but she never knew it.
Well, all right, Mr. Flog. Now for our question. You may be king for a day.
I don't think I'll last through the day.
All right, we'll hurry. Tell me, who was the sixth president of the United States?
The sixth?
There were three names.
Mary Margaret McBride.
Oh. I'm awfully sorry, Mr. Flog, but for making such a swell try, here is a gift certificate presented at LaGuardia Airfield, and you will get a brand new B-29 and a polka dot form-fitting parachute. Happy landings, Mr. Flog. And here is our next potential king for a day. Your name, sir?
Myron Proudfoot.
Myron Proudfoot? You look like a chap I know.
I'm not interested in your friend. Start giving things away, brother.
What is your occupation, Mr. Proudfoot?
I'm a chaplain in a bakery.
What does a chaplain do in a bakery?
I put wings on angel cakes.
How long have you been in the cake business, Mr. Proudfoot?
Long enough to know a crumb when I see one. And I see one.
Now, don't get sarcastic, Mr. Proudleg.
The name is Proudfoot, and make with the question.
All right. Who is the sixth president of the United States?
John Quincy Adams.
John Quincy Adams is correct, and Mr. Myron Proudfoot is king for a day. Folks, here he is, King Proudfoot. Well, Your Majesty, how do you feel?
Never mind how I feel. What do I get?
Well, First, for His Majesty from Schnook's Sport Nook, a genuine no-splash beaverboard canoe paddle.
Here, a canoe paddle. Oh, boy.
And with the compliments of Tiffany's, this chromium pitchfork.
A four-pronger, and it's all mine.
And from Hemingway's hardware store, 200 pounds of self-hardening putty for King.
Just what I needed. Just what I needed.
This is just the beginning, King. King, you are over 35.
By 2 years.
Fine. That jumbo cotton, Uncle Jim, for His Majesty. He is over.
Effie, that's what? Yipe backwards.
And here, the piston rod from a genuine Baldwin locomotive for His Majesty the King. A small locomotive. And here, from Melody Lane Music Shop, this case of 2,000 soybean mandolin picks. These are the mandolin picks.
I just keep pinching myself to believe it.
Immediately after this program, Your Majesty will be guest of honor at a banquet at Hamburger Heaven. Through the courtesy of the sanitation department, you will be guest conductor on the 11-5 garbage run through the Bronx. At night, in your ermine robe, you will be whisked by bicycle to Orange, New Jersey, where you will be the judge in a chicken cleaning contest.
I'm king for a day!
And that's not all.
There's more?
Yes, we are going to start right now to make you look like a king. Sam of Sam's Super Shoe Shine Stand is here to brush your shoes. All right, Sam.
Sam, watch out for the button.
Next, the president of the Busy Bee Hat Cleaners is here to block your hat. Take the king's hat, Mr. Bumble.
And change the newspaper in the hat band.
Your suit is a little baggy, King. Boys, take His Majesty's coat off. On our stage, we have a Hoffman pressing machine.
Now, wait a minute.
An expert operating the Hoffman pressing machine will press your trousers.
Now, wait a minute.
Take the pants off, boys.
Now, wait a minute, Alan.
Keep your shirt on, King.
You better keep my shirt on.
We're a little late, folks. Tune in
now,
again.
Come on, Alan.
Week.
Give me my pants.
Fire, King.
Alan, listen to me. Where are my pants?
Benny, for 15 years I've been waiting to catch you like
Alan,
this.
Alan, you haven't seen the end of me.
It won't be long now.
I want my pants.
Show, rebroadcast for our armed forces overseas. And now it's goodbye from Portland Hoffa, Minerva Pius, who is heard as Mrs. Nussbaum, Alan Reed, who is Falstaff Openshaw, Parker Fenley, who does the part of Titus Moody, Kenny Del Mar in the role of Senator Claghorn, the DeMarco sisters, Al Goodman and his orchestra, Fred's special guest, and Fred Allen himself. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Listener supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
Well, welcome to our third hour of Radio Vault. We are about to listen to the Lux Radio Theater. We just heard a Fred Allen show from 1946. Fred Allen, King for a Day, and all that stuff. We will commence with that right now from December 16, 1940. This is Lux Radio Theater, Fifth Avenue Girl.
Lux presents Hollywood. Lux Radio Theater brings you Ginger Rogers, Edward Arnold, John Howard, and Joan Perry in Fifth Avenue Girl. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. Cecil B. DeMille.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. One way of staying out of trouble is to follow this rule. Don't give advice when you're asked for it. And never, under any conditions, lend a helping hand to a stranger. You'll never be misunderstood, but you'll never have any friends, and you'll probably lead a very dull and useless life. Our play tonight, Fifth Avenue Girl, is the story of a young lady who left that rule behind her on a lonely park bench one day, got into all kinds of trouble, won friends, influenced people, fell in love, and lived happily ever after. The young lady's played by Ginger Rogers, who created Fifth Avenue Girl in the RKO picture, to the delight of the whole country. In fact, her performance in that picture is one of the very good reasons why RKO bought Kitty Foyle, which Ginger has just finished. With Ginger tonight, you'll hear Edward Arnold in the kind of part that made him famous, a tycoon of industry. John Howard plays his son, and Joan Perry his daughter. Together, they constitute a family called the Bordens, a family with too much money but enough courage to make up for it. And Ginger is the guardian angel who pulls them back from such disasters as divorce, bankruptcy, and unrequited love. Last week, I mentioned a problem that confronts the studio wardrobe department when a musical picture is being made. But I've discovered that the problem is much greater when the picture is in color. But right now, it's time for laughter, love, and a light heart as we ring up the curtain on Act One of Fifth Avenue Girl, with Ginger Rogers as Mary Gray, Edward Arnold as Timothy Borden, John Howard as Tim, and Joan Perry as Catherine. Certainly, the one day a year on which the problems of the overworked captain of industry should be lightened is his birthday. So believes Mr. Timothy Borden of the Borden Amalgamated Pump Company. But sadly enough, it's not working out that way for him. A dozen men surround his desk, all hurling argument and query, their voices growing hotter and louder, until Mr. Borden's temperature has reached feverish proportions. Right now, he's at the boiling point.
Gentlemen, please, please, please! I'm going home. I'm worn out. I've had enough for one day, and this of all days.
But wait, T.J., the Stanton contract has to be signed.
Not today.
They'll turn us down.
All right, all right. Business can't be any worse than it is anyhow. Underwood and Company cancel their order. The stockholders want to stop the bond issue. Our tax repeal is rejected, and now Stanton. I've had enough, Captain.
Now, wait, DJ. Hershey and Company called.
Well, what about it? The Hershey account is foolproof. My son's attending to that.
I'm sorry, DJ.
Huh? What's that?
Well, you see, Hershey asked for a revised estimate. Your son wasn't here, so they took their account to Acme.
Is my son here now?
He hasn't been here all week. He's been out playing polo, the international finals or something.
Don't tell me anymore.
Yes, Mr. Borden.
Tell Michael to bring the car around, Miss Watson.
Yes, sir.
Gentlemen, that's all for today. My nerves are as frayed as a weather-beaten rope. That's all. I'm going home. Well, Michael, there seems to be a touch of spring in the air.
Yes, sir. Spring is something that even the poor people can enjoy.
Huh?
Spring, sir. It's free.
Oh, I see. Well, I won't need you tonight, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Oh, good evening, Higgins.
Good evening. You're home early, sir.
Well, a man should get home early, on his birthday at least. I suppose the family will be here for dinner?
No, sir. Nobody? Mrs. Borden is dining out, as usual. Your daughter's going to Frisbee coming out party. I haven't heard from Mr. Junior.
I see.
Aren't you feeling well, sir?
Oh, yes, I'm all right.
Perhaps a touch of spring fever, sir.
Perhaps.
I felt it myself this afternoon just walking in the park. By the way, sir, here's a special delivery letter for you.
Well, thank you, Higgins.
It was lovely there today.
Where?
The park, sir.
The park? Oh.
Whenever I'm free, I like to go there. Some people like to look at the animals, but personally, I like trees and flowers.
Higgins.
Yes, sir.
Higgins, do you read the gossip columns?
Always, sir.
Then I suppose you've read this item. What Fifth Avenue matron is dancing her way to Reno with what well-known playboy while her husband ponders the problems of pumps? Well, Higgins?
Yes, sir. I saw it, sir.
Higgins, is there anything wrong with me?
Oh, no, sir. Not that I know of, sir.
You don't suppose my family's frightened of me?
Oh, no, sir.
Then why am I treated the way I am? Why does my wife... Well, why does she? What's wrong with my daughter and my son? Why can't they stay at home? Why do people work as hard as they do and for what?
I've often wondered myself. After all, what do they get out of life?
That's right. What do they get out of life? Sit down, Higgins.
Oh, but I'd be very uncomfortable,
sir. I'll sit down anyway. You make me uncomfortable. So you're happy just looking at trees and flowers, huh?
Oh, no, not entirely, sir. I find my work here very pleasant.
Why?
Well, to be frank, sir, we servants enjoy the luxuries of the rich and have none of the responsibility.
None of the responsibility? Oh, I see.
I'd like to get up, sir. May I arrange for your dinner?
Just a minute, Higgins. What was the name of the tree you were talking about over in the park?
A maple, sir.
A maple. Thank you, Higgins.
Peanuts, sir. Half the roasted peanuts, sir.
Do the pigeons eat peanuts?
Sure, sir. How many?
Two.
Okay, 20 cents.
They said, wait a minute. Could you tell me if that's a maple tree over there?
How should I know? I sell peanuts. Peanuts, half a roasted peanuts.
Oh, excuse me, miss. Do you mind if I sit here?
Why not? It's a public bench.
Thanks. These pigeons are friendly little creatures, aren't they?
No, they're just hungry.
See, they are hungry. Look.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, I used to have a whole flock of them.
Yeah?
Yeah, they used to fly around all over. I hope you don't think I'm trying to strike up an acquaintance.
Hey, what are you, a flatfoot?
You mean a detective? No.
Well, if you are, I haven't done anything.
Do I look like one?
You might be.
Did you ever hear of Borden's Amalgamated Pump Company?
What kind of pump?
Amalgamated pump.
Vegetable or mineral?
Business. Oh. And a very worrying one. It's a very distressing subject. I don't know why I brought it up.
Why talk about it, then?
Well, I don't think I will. You know, as a matter of fact, I am trying to strike up an acquaintance with you. You see, I'm lonely. It's my birthday.
Mm. Well, birthdays are all right, but you never get over the first one. You've got a knife, I'll split this apple with you.
Yeah, thank you very much, no.
Very good.
Well, aren't you afraid you'll spoil your dinner?
This is my dinner.
Are you on a diet?
Yes, but against my wishes.
Huh. Well, haven't you got a job?
Who has?
Well, it doesn't seem to bother you very much.
It doesn't. I'm alive and kicking. Got $5 in my pocketbook. My room rent's paid for another week.
And then what?
Oh, I don't know. Something will turn up. Always does.
But you mean you sleep in the park?
Well, what's wrong with that?
And that wouldn't worry you?
Say, you sound like one of those Fifth Avenue cadavers.
Fifth Avenue what?
All those people that live over there, those... millionaires. They're always squawking. You'd think the country was going to the dogs.
Well, they have their troubles.
What troubles? I used to stand over in the plaza and watch them come home at night. They look like a lot of wax dummies who've had an overdose of dill pickles. Gee, they make me tired.
Well, I don't like them either when you come right down to it. Look,
I've just had an idea. This is my birthday.
Well, it's not mine.
Would it be presumptuous if I asked you to help me celebrate it?
And do what?
Oh, we could go someplace and eat.
Where?
Well, there's a place they call the Flamingo Club.
Look, mister, are you feeling all right?
People must have a wonderful time there because it costs so much money.
Is your keeper around,
Nathan? No, I mean it. I'd love to go there.
So would I, but I'd rather go to the automat and keep the change.
But this is my birthday. We can have lots of fun insulting the rich.
You sure you wouldn't run out on me and leave me holding the check?
No, I've got lots of money. Look, here, you can hold it.
Well, gee, hadn't you better get somebody to hold me?
No, you'll be all right.
Well, thanks.
Well, that's swell. Let's see.
Gee, if I eat any real food, I'll probably die, but might as well die of food poisoning as anything else. Come on.
What do you have for refreshments and champagne?
How much will it cost?
Oh, never mind that. Waiter.
Oui, monsieur.
Champagne.
Oui, monsieur. Champagne.
Look, it's your money, but do you print it yourself?
We're celebrating. It's my birthday.
You're telling me.
Now, waiter.
Oui, monsieur.
More champagne. Better bring enough for everybody.
Oui, monsieur. Enough for everybody.
Yeah.
I wish you knew what this was doing to my Scotch blood. We ought to be able to take a table and a couple of chairs home with us and throw in some silverware.
But it is good. Will you have some more?
Why not? Every sip is like drinking six pairs of silk stockings.
but you can't drink silk stockings.
Say, is this your birthday or has Christmas sneaked up on me, too?
Well, it's my birthday and we're going to have a good time. Come on, let's dance.
Yeah, let's.
Whoa.
Who are you waiting for?
Wait a minute. Just a friend of mine. Her name is Mrs. Borden.
Your wife?
Yes, that's what I'm told.
I was afraid of something like this. Is that your son with her, too?
If I had a son like that, I'd disown him. Come on over and say hello, huh? Oh, hello, Martha.
Timothy, what are you doing here?
I'm celebrating my birthday, and what are you doing here?
Oh, please sit down. You're making yourself conspicuous.
I'll only be a minute. I just want to meet the gentleman.
Mr. Hopkins, my husband.
How do you do?
How do you do? And this is Miss...
Gray.
Gray, Miss Gray.
How do you do?
Say, you know, I've been reading about you in the papers, Mr. Hopkins. The gossip columns. Congratulations. I think you show very good taste.
Well, that's more than I can say for you. Tommy, let's go.
Yes, I think we'd better.
Oh. Now, there's a fellow I wanted to insult.
Well, why didn't you?
Well, I couldn't think of anything to say.
Well, let's sit down. I'll dream up something for you.
That's a good idea, too.
But the way I'm feeling right now, I'm beginning to like everybody.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning, my dear. Will you have some breakfast with me?
I've had it. Are you in a mood this morning to discuss a few matters of importance to both of us?
Well, there are several things that need my attention, and
I can well imagine. That black eye of yours is one of them.
Yes, I noticed it. I had a bit of an accident.
Yes. The papers give a full account of it. Who is this woman?
Woman? What woman?
Who is she?
She's a very nice girl. Yes, a very nice girl.
Where did you meet her?
I met her in the park. I never saw her before in my life, and I'll probably never see her again.
Good morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Sure, I'm glad you're here. I was afraid I'd overslept.
Well, this is my wife, Miss Gray.
I believe we've met.
What's wrong with her?
Say, where did you come from?
Upstairs, don't you remember?
In a way I do, yes. And in a way I don't.
Hey, Mrs. Borden seems upset. I'd better be on my way.
Oh, for heaven's sake, don't leave me now.
Well, I can't think of a better time.
No. I got to find out how you got here and also how I did.
Well, it's a little vague to me.
Well, maybe Higgins can help us. Oh, Higgins.
Breakfast is served, sir.
Higgins, were you awake when Miss Gray and I came in last night?
Oh, look. He's got one, too.
What?
A black eye. Say, that's a pip, Higgins.
Thank you, miss.
Oh, that's a shame, Higgins. What happened?
Well, it was this way, sir. When you came in last night, you...
Oh, it happened last night. Never mind, Higgins. You better get us some breakfast.
Yes.
Look, I've had a beautiful evening. I've been out in society, and I've got a wonderful headache, and I couldn't be happier, but really, I've got to be running along.
Oh, no. You must have some breakfast. Besides, I need your advice.
Oh, if I don't have another birthday for 10 years, it'll be soon enough.
Well, why? We had a wonderful time. We must have. I spent a dollar of my own money.
You shouldn't have done that.
That's what started the argument with the taxi driver.
Taxi driver?
Yeah.
Coffee, sir.
You remember the taxi driver, don't you, Higgins?
I shall never forget him.
Well, if I'm not too inquisitive, just what is all this about a taxi driver?
He was much less belligerent than the policeman, sir.
What policeman?
The one who calmed you down after you told him you'd defend Miss America with your life, sir.
Defend who?
Miss America, sir. You were quieter after you fell down the steps, but your last request was that we put Miss America in the guest room.
Miss America? Did anybody else come home with us?
No, I'm Miss America.
Oh.
I want you to know, sir, that I hold not one moment's anger toward anyone for smashing me in the eye. It was nice to see you gay for a change.
Thank you, Higgins.
Not at all, sir.
Well, all that was last night.
And today's a new day.
Right. You know something happened to this house this morning that hasn't happened in a long time? This is the first time in years my wife's paid any attention to me, and I think you had something to do with it.
I think I did.
You said something at Turnup. Well, here it is. Why not take a job with me?
What kind of a job?
Well, we'll think of something. I'd just like to keep you around here.
No, thank you.
I'd feel much safer. You see, yesterday I learned I was about to lose my wife.
And you want me to stay here and make sure?
Well, it might work just the other way around.
And again, it mightn't.
You know, Martha, that's my wife, is a very nice person. Though you would scarcely believe it by the way she acted toward you this morning.
Oh, well, she just had me figured wrong.
Well, that's what's so nice about it. Now, you need a job and I need you.
No, thank you. You're too rich. Besides, you'd scare me, living in a house this big.
But I didn't want all this. Is it my fault that I invented a pump? All I ever wanted in my life was to have a little fun and a family. I haven't got a family and I never had any fun till last night.
Well, thanks, but I'll see you next birthday.
Now, wait a minute, Miss Gray. Come here. Just a...
Hey, who's the mob?
Oh, my daughter Kathleen and her gang, I suppose. She's probably brought them all home for breakfast.
Oh, well, do they do this often? I mean, does this go on all the time?
Let's go out in the garden. I have an offer to make you. A business offer.
Come on in, gang. Come on in.
Hey, Kathleen. Who's that?
That? Oh, it's Dad and somebody. Don't let him bother you. Make yourselves at home, gang.
Okay.
I'll just cook to whip us up some
all
breakfast.
All right. Will you?
Cook. Oh, hello, Michael.
Hello.
Cook, how about some breakfast?
How many?
Oh, I don't know. 10 or 12. Will you hurry it up?
Of all things, 10, 12. I ain't running a restaurant.
Michael, would you mind helping cook? She's got a grouch on again.
I'm the chauffeur of the house. Besides, this is my breakfast hour. I'm supposed to be eating.
Well, sit down then and eat.
I'm just a mechanical puppet. I'm not supposed to sit in the presence of my...
I know. You're not supposed to sit in the presence of your betters, as you say. But go ahead.
I didn't say that.
You were thinking it.
Oh, I'm not supposed to think. I'm only supposed to wait outside a hotel all night while my betters are getting drunk and throwing away more money than most people make in a year.
I'm sorry, Mike. You'll feel better after you get some sleep.
I'm not supposed to sleep. Just wind me up like a mechanical toy.
I didn't mean to be rude, Michael.
The rich can afford to be rude. You and your brother and all your rich friends.
What's wrong with Tim and me? Tell me, Michael.
Listen, will you get out of here and let me finish my breakfast?
Oh, Michael, you're wonderful. I love you when you get mad. Look, if I hurry and get the gang out of here, will you talk to me?
No.
Oh, thanks, Michael. See you later.
Oh, Mom, what's up? Higgins said you wanted to see me.
Read this, second column. It's about your father.
Oh, that, I saw it. Yeah, it must have been some shindig. Was Dad banged up much?
Just a common black eye. It's not funny, Tim. And you haven't heard the worst.
Who's the blonde woman they mentioned?
I'm coming to that. She spent the night here.
You're kidding.
She spent the night here in the guest room. Now I want you to go right downstairs and get her out of this house.
Well, I'll do the best I can. I'm not so sure about Dad now. He might poke me in the eye. Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Mr. Borden's son.
Yes, your father's just told me about you.
Well, let's come to the point. How long have you known my father?
Oh, a long time. Ever since last night.
You only met him last night?
In the park.
Oh, a pickup.
Nothing as vulgar as that.
Well, what would you call it?
Love at first sight, I guess.
Don't make me laugh. My father's an old man.
Age doesn't matter when the real thing comes along.
How about money? Does that matter?
It helps.
Now we're getting somewhere. Look, you see this? You know what it is?
It's a $50 bill, isn't it?
That's exactly what it is. Here, hold it.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
Yeah, it's a real thing. I can see the little veins running through it.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll bet you that $50 you can't get out that door by the time I count 10.
Oh, that's pretty far.
Well, I could count to 20.
No, I don't think I could make it. You see, my rheumatism's been bothering me. Here's your money. I understand you play polo.
What's that got to do with it?
Nothing, just that I'm amazed.
Amazed at what?
Amazed to discover that horses have better breeding than the people who ride them.
Well, have you decided about... Oh, hello, Tim.
Hello, Dad.
Have you thought the matter over, Miss Gray?
Oh, yes. I've had a couple of propositions this morning. Your son wants me to leave, and you want me to stay. And of the two propositions, Mr. Borden Sr., I think I prefer yours.
In just a moment, Mr. DeMille will bring us Act Two of Fifth Avenue Girl, with Ginger Rogers, Edward Arnold, John Howard, and Joan Perry. And now, our producer, Mr. DeMille.
Act Two of Fifth Avenue Girl, starring Ginger Rogers as Mary Gray, Edward Arnold as Timothy Borden, John Howard as Tim, and Joan Perry as Catherine. The arrival of Mary Gray in the Borden household created a storm of dissension, but all efforts to dislodge her have proved futile. Her pretended romance with Mr. Borden has stunned the family completely, and for the first time in years, the master of the house assumes a certain importance in their eyes. But Timothy Jr. feels he's been personally affronted. In the library, he faces the unwelcome guests.
Say, you.
You're referring to me?
Yes. Did you put this picture of Father on my dresser?
What's wrong with your father?
That's beside the point. Did you put these business reports there, too?
Well, I didn't know what to do with him since your father's too old to work.
That's a lot of bunk. He wasn't too old a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, he seems to think so now.
Well, what am I supposed to do with these reports?
Well, somebody's got to fill your father's shoes. I guess, though, they're probably too big for you.
Oh, I'm not a man, is that it?
Well, you wear long pants.
Say, what are you trying to do, disrupt this family?
I haven't done anything.
What's your racket, sister?
Haven't quite made up my mind.
Do you think my mother's going to step aside for you?
That's what I heard.
So you think you're going to marry my father, is that it?
I might be your stepmother. Heaven knows I'd hate to be your mother.
I've got you figured. You're a gold digger.
What makes you think you're not a gold digger? What have you ever done to deserve all this? What have you ever accomplished?
What do you expect to accomplish?
I've got my claws in plush and I like the feel of it.
Now, you're just kidding yourself. With Father's business going to pot, there isn't going to be any plush left.
Oh, there'll be enough for my needs. When I get through, you're going to be faced with the awful predicament of going to work for a change.
Oh, there you are, Mary. Shall we go? I'm all ready.
Yes, I'm ready.
Dad, listen.
Oh, hello, son. How's the polo coming along?
Dad, can I speak to you privately?
Well, you might ask Miss Gray for an appointment.
Miss Gray, do you mind if I speak to my father?
No.
Well, please go away, then.
Not any farther than this.
Sir, are you two fastened together with wires or something? Look, Dad, I don't know what's come over you. You know Mother's in a pretty nervous condition.
No, I didn't know. It's too bad.
Well, I can't criticize you for neglecting Mother, but I do criticize you for neglecting your business.
What business?
The pump business. Have you seen these reports?
I told Miss Gray to throw them out.
But, Dad, the business is in a very desperate condition.
Is that so? Well, why don't you do something about it?
Dad, I don't know anything about pumps.
You can learn, can't you? Come on, Mr. Borden. We're going to be late for our rumble lesson.
Children, we've got to be calm. The important thing is that we must change our attitude toward this woman.
Yeah.
If we're pleasant to her, she'll reveal her true colors. They always do. Then your father will get rid of her himself.
Why are you so anxious about Father? I thought you were going to Reno.
Well, Reno will come in time.
Mother's boyfriend gave her the air.
Catherine, nothing of the kind. Mr. Hopkins is simply being discreet in this emergency. Besides, we can't let your father make a fool of himself. After we've saved him from himself, we can all live our own lives.
We might as well save some of his money for ourselves while we're at it.
And just what are you doing for the cause? Hanging around the kitchen, mooing after that dope Michael.
Michael? Why,
Tim,
Catherine.
Tim, you shut up. He doesn't know what he's talking
about. Now, children, children, bickering is not the answer to our problem. We've all got to pull together. Now, Tim, I want you to be especially nice to Miss Gray.
Well, what am I supposed to do, enter into competition with Dad?
You can't take a girl away from your own father.
Well, the least you can do is to make the same sacrifices I'm making.
I've had enough of sacrifices. I've been going to that office every day for a week. Pumps, pumps, pumps. That's all I hear all day long. You make some sacrifices for a change. I'm not going to spend my evenings with a female I loathe.
But we've got to do something. And we can only succeed by unified action. Oh, I'm asking my family to rally round for the last time.
Hold it, Mother, hold it. You look like the Statue of Liberty.
Now, Higgins, Mr. Borden will sit here, and I'd like Miss Gray to sit next to Mr. Timothy. Miss Catherine will sit next to me.
Yes, madame.
Now, has cook prepared all of Mr. Borden's favorite dishes?
Everything, madame, including the beef stew.
Oh, thank you, Higgins.
Good evening.
Oh, good evening, Miss Gray. Well, how charming you look. Children, come and see how lovely Miss Gray looks in her new frock. Won't you join us in the living room?
Well, Mr. Borden and I are going out.
Oh. Oh, Tim, doesn't Miss Gray look charming?
She certainly does.
Is that a new gown?
Oh, yes, it is. It's very chic. Where did you get it?
Where? Oh, I don't know. I mean, that is, I don't remember.
Catherine, you shouldn't be so inquisitive. Oh, I'm sorry, dear. We haven't got to know you better. After all, you are practically one of the family.
As a matter of fact, we've all been a little upset, you see.
That's right. We haven't meant to be rude. Personally, I'd like to offer you my apologies.
Oh, you haven't been that rude.
Mary! Mary, where are you?
In here.
Lessons from Madame Lasanga. You do the rumba, the lulaconga, six lessons, and... Oh, hello, hello, everybody. I'm sorry I'm late. I was just practicing that new rumba step, you know?
Timothy, I was just saying that I thought it would be a good idea if you and Miss Gray joined us for dinner.
Yes, what do you say, Dad?
For dinner? Well, I'm not quite sure.
We have all your favorite dishes.
You have? Well, why didn't you let me know about it?
Well, it's sort of a surprise.
Well, what do you think about it, Miss Gray?
We have a party of friends waiting for us.
Oh, yes, that's true. And it wouldn't be nice to keep them waiting.
Oh, I shouldn't think so.
No, well, I'm sorry, but we could make it some other night.
Just as you say, Timothy.
Well, we'd better be getting along. We're a little late now, and I wouldn't want to keep them waiting. Bye, Aunt dear.
Thank you, sir.
I'm just trying out that new rumba step again, see? Six lessons from Madame Lazanga. You'll do the rumba and the conga, six, you know? Oh, say, wait a minute, I got it. Six lessons.
Well, can you beat it? $5 million walking right out of our lives, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Hey, how did you like that rumba I showed the family there?
I think you got something there.
You know, it's a shame to go on deceiving them like this.
Don't weaken now. It'll do them good.
Well, you're the boss. Oh, Michael. Michael, just drive through the park as usual. We'll let you know when we want to go home. Phew. Do people get in these clothes every night? And why they ever put tails on a man's coat, I don't know.
No, don't ask me.
And why they keep guzzling champagne night after night, I'll never know.
I can still feel the effects of your birthday party every time I shake my head.
You see, the family was being very nice to you when I came down.
Oh, they had me scared to death.
Yeah, they're even nice to me lately.
Pretty simple. You take something away from people they don't want, and they want it more than ever.
You know, you've got a lot of common sense.
You got to have common sense on my side of the fence.
There are a lot of nice people on your side of the fence.
Well, the other fellow's pasture always looks greener.
Does my side of the fence look any different to you?
You can have it.
I'm beginning to feel sorry for the rich, huh?
I guess rich people are just poor people with money.
Oh, this vicious nightlife is getting me down.
I'm not very good at faking. When I do things, I want to mean them. Don't you think I'd better be on my way?
Why?
I better get back to where I belong before this kind of life catches up with me.
Oh, you can't walk out on a contract.
Oh, this is the goofiest job I've ever had. I don't see what good I'm doing in that house outside of getting myself into a mess.
Well, whatever you're doing, it seems to work. I've never enjoyed so much attention before from my family.
Why do you hang on to a bunch like that, anyhow?
Oh, well, I like them.
You really do like them?
Yeah, they're a pretty nice family. Mm. I remember them.
Everybody to his own portion.
You're still in love with your wife, aren't you?
Well, no. You see, after love goes away, something's left in its place that's even more important.
It's okay with you. It's okay with me. I'm getting paid.
Yeah, that's the girl. But you know, we've got to begin thinking about your future.
Oh, don't worry about my future. It doesn't bother me. I haven't any squat coming.
Oh, this nightlife.
Well, oh, we can go home in a couple of hours. Somebody may still be up.
Well, if they are, I'll go into the act.
All right. Oh, look out. Here comes your wife.
Oh,
good evening. Did you have a nice
happy
time?
Happy birthday to you.
Timothy.
Happy
boy, I'll say we've had an evening. You should have seen him at the Flamingo Club.
Happy
he was a scream. He kept insisting
happy
it was his birthday all over again.
Happy birthday
well, then, wait a minute. One step
happy
at a time. No, I don't know what I've done to deserve this.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Is she gone?
Say, you're a great actor, you know that.
Well, you better get some sleep. Good night and pleasant dreams.
Good night. Who is it?
Me, Catherine.
Well, come in. I've waited up for you. I wanted to talk to you.
Oh? Well, what's the trouble?
I've got a problem.
Who hasn't?
It's about Michael.
Oh, what about Michael?
He doesn't respond.
He doesn't what?
Well, you see, Miss Gray, I'm rich and I know it. But it isn't my fault. I try to understand everything he says to me, even though sometimes I don't know what he's talking about.
What are you talking about?
You see, I'm broad-minded. I understand perfectly about you and Father.
Aren't you getting a little ahead of yourself?
Why shouldn't younger people marry older people? Fat people marry thin people? Tall people marry short
people?
I'm
afraid you don't quite understand the situation.
I'm not a child. You're young. Father's old. All right, Michael's poor and I'm rich, and I love him very much. But I can't go on waiting for the day.
What day?
You know, when we'll all be the same. Michael calls it dialectical materialism.
What does that mean?
I'm not sure, but I think it's when everybody will be more or less like Michael.
Look, I'm a little tired, and I think you're a little tired, too.
But what am I going to do about it? I know you know. You're a woman of the world.
I think you'd better talk about this to your mother.
Mother doesn't understand those things.
Oh, she's not alone.
Perhaps if I got a job, it would make a difference.
Yes, might be a good idea.
That's what I'll do. Then if I'm like him, he can't ignore me, can he? Oh, you're wonderful.
Huh? Why?
For giving me this swell advice.
Well, now look here. I didn't say anything. I don't want to say anything. I'm in enough hot water as this.
Well, Tulik, the boy's really coming along, huh?
Yes, he's really taking hold down there at the office.
Well, he's my son.
He's got ideas, TJ. He's figured out a method of marketing a cheaper pump on long-term credit. Ought to make you a mint of money.
Oh, am I butting in?
No, Mr. Terwilliger and I were just talking over a few personal matters. Thanks very much for dropping in like this, Terwilliger. Good night.
Good night, TJ. Good night, Tim.
Good night.
Say, Tim, what's all this about long-term credit and cheaper pumps?
Well, your pumps have got whiskers, and so have your ideas. If I'm going to run this business, I'm going to run it my way.
All right. Do as you like.
Look, this is really what I wanted to talk to you about, Dad. I'm worried about Mother. She's taking an awful beating.
But I haven't done anything.
Well, it isn't easy for Mother to live in the same house with another woman hanging around.
What other woman? Oh.
We don't know what it's all about. Are you going to marry this girl?
Now, I don't inquire into your personal affairs, and I don't see why you should inquire into mine.
Well, why don't you at least give Mother a break? Why don't you talk to her?
I didn't know she wanted to talk to me.
Well, she does. I just left her. She's upstairs. Look, why don't we clear out of here tonight and leave you two alone? Maybe you can straighten out a few things.
It's almost 8:30. Are you ready?
Oh, hello, Mary. Just a second. I'll run up and get my coat.
Dad?
Yeah?
I'd be very happy to take Miss Gray any place she wanted to go tonight.
Well, why not? What do you say, Mary?
Well, thanks. I'd just as soon spend one evening at home.
Now, wait a minute. Is there anything wrong with me? Have I got beriberi or something?
Mary, I don't like to ask you to do this, but would you mind going to the opening with Tim?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't very...
Oh, yes, Mary, you see, Mrs. Borden and I have a few things to talk over.
Well, in that case, I'd love to go. That is, if he doesn't mind taking me.
Mind? Why, it'd be a pleasure. Is the car outside?
Yes.
Well, come on, then. What's holding us back? By the way, where is this opening?
Oh, I don't know. I don't really feel like going anyplace. As a matter of fact, we were just going for a walk through the park. Look, you don't have to come along if you don't want to.
Do you put on evening clothes to take a walk in the park?
I do it quite often.
Oh, I see. That's why you ordered Michael to have the car, too.
No. We were going to the band concert.
In evening clothes?
Look, I'm not submitting to a third degree unless you show me a badge.
Well, I'm not going to let you walk in the park alone.
I do it quite often, but you needn't come along if you're afraid of the dark.
Come on, never mind the sarcasm.
Peanuts, hot roasted peanuts.
Some peanuts, please.
Okay, lady. Thanks. Peanuts, hot roasted peanuts.
Here, want some peanuts?
Thanks. Will this be dinner?
Sure. Everything's on me tonight.
Well, where do we go from here?
Over on that bench.
That bench? Yes. How do you think we're going to find any room on that bench?
We will. Come on, squeeze in. Pardon us, please.
The nerve of some people's children.
Well, we made it.
Sure. Now, eat your peanuts.
Don't look now, but love is certainly in the air around here.
Well, the park bench is the only place poor people can make love.
Say, lady, do you mind moving over? Me and me gal's got a little necking to do.
There's only room for one. I mean...
That's all we need. Come on, honey, set.
Look, is this the only bench in the park? I'm beginning to feel like a sardine still in the can.
I met your father on this bench.
Well, that ought to make it a museum piece. Say, is this what you and Dad do every night?
Not every night.
You might at least have picked a bench away from that seal pond.
Well, if there's anything you want to know about seals, I can tell you. They eat nothing but fresh oysters on the half shell every day.
It's too bad they don't like fresh blondes.
I've been thrown to them before, but they always toss me back.
Well, they've got more intelligence than I thought.
Hey, why don't you two fight at home? Can't even have a pleasant evening in the park without someone coming along to spoil it. Let's go, Milton.
Now, you see... you frighten people.
Well, I'm going to at least have a little more room. Shove over.
Pardon me, bud. How about us sitting there? Come on, baby.
Okay, Commodore.
Well, that's that. Now the Marines have moved in.
Why don't you go home?
I can sit here as long as you can.
Anchors away, hey, hey.
Hey, look, sailor. Away. Would you mind piping down? We'd like to listen to the band concert.
What's the matter with my singing?
Just pipe down.
Oh, now you frighten me, bud. What are you, a junior G-man?
Well, if you think I am, just step out on a walk.
Well, when you gotta do it, you gotta do it.
Hey,
come on.
Wait a minute, sailor. Sister, why don't you give your friend a liver pill?
Hey, why don't you button up your lip?
Would you two ladies like to fight it out?
Come on, Lex, and let's scram out of here.
So long, Junior G-Man.
Go on, beat it.
Did you come here to fight?
Look, I don't want to fight. I just want to talk.
If you don't mind, I'd rather listen to the music.
Oh, thank you, please. Would you kindly move over, please?
Here we go again. Move over.
Oh, thank you. Here is seat. Sitting down, kiddo.
Oh, it's a swell night, isn't it? The moon's just coming up.
Yeah. You know, you're very pretty by moonlight, Miss Gray. Mary.
Hey, wait a minute. What makes you think you can get away with that stuff?
What, the kiss?
Yeah. Why did you do that?
Well, because it's something I wanted to do.
Oh, you give me an idea, Mr. Borden. That's something I've wanted to do.
I want to see you.
Look, would you mind some other time?
No, right now. I just want to tell you what I think of you. You're the most deceitful, double-crossing, sneaky.
Wait a minute. Wait, what have I done?
You know very well. Michael!
Well, what about him?
I told him I was going to get a job, just as you said.
I said?
And now he hates me. He says I'm just a spoiled brat trying to take somebody's job away. Oh. He hates me. You could have stopped it. I confided in you. I trusted you.
Oh, well, we'll do something about it.
But... you've done enough. You don't care anything about Dad. You only go out with him so you can be near Michael.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
But you're not going to get him. If I can't have him, nobody can. I hate you. Oh, I hate you.
Mama hates me. Daughter hates me. Junior hates me. I guess I'm a pretty popular girl around here.
After a short intermission, Mr. DeMille presents Ginger Rogers, Edward Arnold, John Howard, and Joan Perry in Act 3 of Fifth Avenue Girl. We pause now for station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
And you're listening to Radio Vault on WHFR 89.3 FM. From Henry Ford College.
Curtain rises on Act 3 of Fifth Avenue Girl. Next morning, and a curtain of gloom hangs over the Borden household. Mrs. Borden, Tim, and Catherine are submerged in black thoughts. Even Mary is having a time trying to straighten out Catherine's tangled romance with Michael.
Good morning, Cook.
Good morning, Patrice.
Mind if I join you for a cup of coffee, Michael?
Aren't you stepping out of your class?
Me? I haven't any class.
Look, just what is your position in this household?
Don't ask me. Michael, will you stop being a dope?
Atta girl. Keep your coffee.
What do you mean?
Straight from the shoulder. You're in love and you have the spunk to fight for the thing you want.
I don't have to listen to this nonsense.
You've made Catherine unhappy. You make everyone unhappy.
Oh, so you know all about me.
You are like a pane of glass to me, brother. You try to make everybody believe things you don't even believe yourself.
You're a pawn in the hands of your betters.
I'm a what?
You're a renegade to your own class.
Is that so? You can't call me that and get away with it. How dare you slap Michael? I saw you. I'll pull every hair out of your head.
You'll do what, you bat-winged flapper?
Put down that knife. Put it down. Stop waving that knife. What are you going to do?
You talk too much. I'm going to carve you out a new mouth.
I don't care what you do to me, but you leave Catherine alone.
Who says?
I do.
You're going to fight for her, huh?
Yes, I'll fight for her.
Michael. Oh, Michael. That ought to prove how much he hates you. Thanks for your use of the knife, Cook. Good morning, all.
Good morning, Mary. Say, where have you been all day?
Oh, just taking care of some odds and ends.
I slept most of the day, getting in trim to go out tonight.
Do we have to? Why don't you stay home for a change?
Oh, I'd love to, but we started this thing and we've got to go through with it.
Don't you think we've gone too far?
You don't know my wife like I do.
Well, yes, I do. She's completely cured.
Has she been talking to you?
Oh, just to say hello.
Well, you've got to be careful. She's a very persuasive woman, especially when she cries.
Listen, if I stay in this house any longer, you're not going to have any family, and I'm not going to have any sanity.
Oh, you're not going to run out on me.
I've been thinking of it.
No, you can't. Not yet. I'll put you out when the time comes. But if she thinks she has anything to do with your leaving, I'd be right back where I started.
Well, whatever you say, but I've got a feeling that...
Mary, leave it to me. Will you leave it to me? When the right time comes, I'll put on a big scene.
You mean, get out and never darken my door again?
That's it. What do you say?
I'll think it over. Boy Higgins.
Yes, Nip. You want me to order the car?
No. Higgins, I'm leaving. Will you tell Mr. Borden in about a half an hour, please?
You mean you're leaving for good, miss?
Yes. Now, don't forget to tell him.
Very good, miss.
Hello.
Where are you going? On a prowl again tonight?
Maybe.
Any special victim in mind?
I don't play favorites.
What's the matter? You're not dressed up. No band concert?
Good night.
Oh, now, don't run away. Let's sit down.
Listen, I haven't got time to go.
Come on. I haven't sat on the front stoop since I was a kid. Anyway, there's a couple of questions I'd like to ask you. You don't mind, do you?
Well, it depends.
Well, to begin with, what is your angle? What are you doing in this house?
You know the answer to that. I'm gold digging.
Look, let's quit stalling. I'll admit you've had us all pretty upset, but that's okay. It's probably done us good. But I'm getting tired of this mystery stuff.
There's no mystery about me.
You know, you're really a pretty nice girl.
That's what you think.
Well, aren't you?
What do you care?
You got my father all mixed up, and now you've got me all mixed up.
Why pick on me? I haven't done anything to anybody.
Not much you haven't.
What have I ever done to you?
Do you really want to know?
No. Look, why don't you go away?
Oh, no. I'm going to sit right here, and you're going to sit right here until you open up.
All right. But you're going to be sitting here for an awfully long time.
Mary.
Keep your distance. Remember what happened to you in the park?
Yeah, I'm thinking about that. And it was worth it.
Listen, you. Let me go.
Why don't you be honest, Mary? You know
that
I...
Let me go!
What's the matter? Afraid?
I'm not afraid of you.
Afraid of yourself?
Listen, you keep on your own side of the steps or I'll bat you down.
What's the matter up there? Anything wrong here, lady?
No, officer. Everything's all right.
Was this fellow annoying you?
I told you if everything was all right, officer.
Well, watch your step, buddy.
Well, now are you satisfied? Thanks for saving you from the law. But I came here to talk, and cop or no cop, Miss Gray, that's what we're going to do. What do you mean
she's gone? It's true, Timothy. I heard her tell Higgins.
I don't believe it. She wouldn't do a thing like that.
Timothy, do you mind so very much?
Of course I mind. I'll go out and look for her.
Oh, Timothy, I thought perhaps we could stay home tonight together. I made some stew, Timothy.
Stew? You made stew?
Yes.
Well, all right, I'll look for her later.
Oh, Timothy, thank you. Oh, it'll be like old times, won't it? Just you and me alone. Timothy, I was thinking, couldn't we start all over again?
Start all over again? After the way I acted? I wouldn't think of asking you, Martha.
Well, you haven't acted any worse than I have. The whole thing's been my fault.
No, it was my fault. Those innocent flirtations of yours meant nothing.
Of course not, but there'll never be another. Timothy, do you know what I've been doing in my spare time? I've been learning to rumba.
What for?
So that I could go out dancing with you, if you'll let me.
Oh, well, we'll see.
Oh, Timothy, and you won't go looking for Miss Gray?
We'll see about that, too.
Oh, Timothy.
Come on in, Michael.
Hello, Mother. Hello, Dad.
Catherine, what's Michael doing in here? Oh, you didn't have an accident, did you?
No, Mother. Tell them, Michael.
No. You tell them.
All right. Michael and I are man and wife.
Michael and you are what?
We're married.
Oh, stop this nonsense.
It isn't nonsense.
Oh, but I don't believe it. Married to a chauffeur?
He's not a chauffeur.
Here, you may have the cap. I relinquish the badge of servitude.
Michael, you go to the kitchen.
You're not going to separate us.
Go to your room, Catherine.
You stay where you are.
Oh, send him away, Timothy. The girl's out of her mind.
I'm afraid you'll have to go away, Michael.
I'm taking Catherine with me.
Naturally, she's your wife.
Oh, Dad.
Congratulations, Michael.
Oh, Timothy.
Now, wait a minute, Martha.
Oh, but this is too much. Married to a chauffeur.
Well, I wasn't much when you married me.
Oh, but she's such a baby.
Well, about the same age as you were.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, well, all right. Congratulations, darling. I hope you'll be very happy. Congratulations, Michael. What's your last name?
Parents bother.
Oh.
What's going on?
Yes, anything wrong?
Oh, Mary. Mary, you're wonderful. Just wonderful. I can't thank you enough.
What's Mary done?
Tim, Michael and I are married. We're going on our honeymoon now. Say goodbye, Michael.
Goodbye. Dad and Mom...
Goodbye. Goodbye. Bye, Mary, and thanks again.
Goodbye and good luck. Great kids, huh?
Timothy, hadn't you better tell Miss Gray?
Huh? What? Oh, yes, Miss Gray. What have you got to say for yourself? Is it true you advised my daughter to elope with a house chauffeur?
I suppose I did.
You suppose you did? I want you to know, Miss Gray, this is the end. You've come between me and my family for the last time.
You're being a little rough.
Rough? Man. After what this woman has done to all of us? Your mother on the verge of a nervous breakdown? Your sister? Well, look what she's done to your sister. You're a wicked, conniving woman, Miss Gray. You've hypnotized me for the last time, and I must ask you to leave this house.
Oh, I can't play any longer. I wasn't doing anything to anybody. I was just sitting on a park bench, minding my own business. I didn't ask for this job.
No.
You forced it on me. I'm sorry I ever saw you. I'm sorry I ever saw this place. I can't take it any longer. I'm going.
Hey, wait a minute, Dad. What was that about a job?
Huh? Job?
Yes, Timothy, what was that?
Dad, was she working here?
Huh? Working?
Was she working here? She was working here. I knew it. Mary, come back. Listen.
Timothy, look me in the eye.
Well,
Timothy Borden, you old fate.
Well, gosh, Martha, I had to do something.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Oh, Martha.
Mary, wait. Listen, Mary.
Let me alone.
Come here. Where do you think you're going?
Why should you care where I'm going?
Well, I do care.
I'm going back to where I belong.
I'll say you are. You belong with me. And you're coming back to the house right now.
I'm not.
You're coming back if I have to carry you. Come on.
No. Put me down. You can't do this to me.
I'll show you.
Let me down. You hear? Let me down.
Here. What's going on here?
Out of the way, officer.
Put that girl down or I'll run you in.
Officer.
Yes, lady?
Why don't you mind your own business?
Just a moment, Mr. DeMille will bring our stars back to the microphone for their curtain call. Now, here's Mr. DeMille with our stars.
We're a long way from Fifth Avenue now, but here's our Fifth Avenue girl again, Ginger Rogers, with Edward Arnold and John Howard.
You know, C.B., Ginger is a constant source of amazement to me.
Is that good or bad, Eddie?
Oh, good, very good.
Well, then you can speak freely, Eddie.
Yes, what's amazing about Ginger this week?
The discovery I made the other day.
Good?
Excellent. I was wandering around an art gallery downtown when all of a sudden I found myself in front of a drawing signed by Ginger Rogers, a charcoal sketch of the actress Maria Uspenskaya, and it was great.
How do you play, Ginger? Guilty or not guilty?
Well, it's a form of insanity, Judge. You know, like you navigate your boat or Eddie gets out in the kitchen and cooks dinner, I draw pictures.
And a very nice hobby it is, Ginger, especially when they hang your pictures in art galleries.
What's on the program next week, Mr. DeMille?
Next Monday night, the marquee will read Mickey Rooney, Bill LaBonde, and Virginia Weidler in Young Tom Edison. Our play is adapted from the MGM picture with Mickey in the same part he played on the screen. It's the drama of a genius, but a genius who was a regular American boy. Tom Edison got into more than his share of scrapes, so Mickey Rooney will be right at home in the part next Monday night when we present Young Tom Edison.
That's a swell Christmas present for any audience, Mr. DeMille. We'll be listening.
Ginger, I understand they're previewing your new picture, Kitty Poor, tonight.
Yes, that's right, John.
Well, I hear great reports on it. Good luck.
Thanks, John. Good night.
Good night, C.B.
Good night. We'll ask Santa Claus for some more like you. Our sponsors, the makers of Lux Flakes, join me in inviting you to be with us again next Monday night when the Lux Radio Theater presents Mickey Rooney, Beulah Bondi, and Virginia Weidler in Young Tom Edison. This is Appleby DeMille saying good night to you from Hollywood.
We want to remind you that this is the time to help the 1940 drive to fight tuberculosis. Purchase your supply of anti-tuberculosis Christmas seals now. Use them on all your Christmas mail. Show that you are helping to fight this dead disease, too. Buy seals for Christmas, and you buy health for the new year. Edward Arnold will soon be seen in the Frank Capra production, The Life of John Doe. John Howard has just completed the Universal Pictures, The Invisible Woman. Heard in tonight's play were Claire Bedera as Mrs. Borden, J. Arthur Young as Higgins, Tristram Coffin as Michael, Lou Merrill as Terwilliger, Fred Mackay as Hopkins, Verna Felton as Cook, and Sally Payne, Ralph Sedan, Alan Wood, Gene Webb, and Bob Burleson. Our music was directed by Louis Silvers, and your announcer has been Melville Roy. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
All right, there you have it. December 16, 1939 was when Fifth Avenue Girl was broadcast on CBS. Ginger Rogers as the principal star. We need to get out of here. We're going to make way for This Just In and follow that with an encore performance of you know, Mountain Stage, right? And don't forget to catch us for Mysteries on Sunday night at 9 p.m. And our Valentine's show coming up a week from today. 10 o'clock until 1 o'clock Radio Vault Time. So until then, or whenever, stay warm and see ya.
Evocative, paintings by Mexican artist Teresa Dunn are filling the Sisson Gallery with brilliant colors and compelling themes, now through February 13th. On Thursday, February 6th, at 1 p.m., please join us at the gallery in the Mackenzie Fine Arts Center to hear Ms. Dunn talk about her unique and powerful work. A reception will follow from 3:30 to 6. Please join us to see this wonderful exhibit, now through February 13th.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported non-commercial radio, featuring local and independent artists.
The following pre-recorded hour is a WHFR Dearborn new music presentation.
You are listening to the only station making waves. This is WHFR.FM 89.3 on your FM dial or on the web at www.